So it's 6 o'clock plus a little bit. And Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Jim Sykes?
Here.
Matthew Beck?
Here.
Ronald Arvin?
Here.
Steve Culligan?
Here.
Dan Mayfield?
Here.
Barbara Doty?
Here.
Vern Halter? Mr. Mayor, you do have a quorum.
Very good. Any comments on the agenda? Any objections? Hearing none, that will be the business. Let's rise. I'm going to ask Mr. Stone if he would lead us in the pledge, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have a sign-in sheet, Madam Clerk?
Mr. Mayor, it looks like it's still being utilized.
Okay. As soon as you get it free, please bring it forward. This is a point in our agenda for audience participation. It does not have to be about the budget, but it can be about the budget. It should be civil. It's an exercise in civil communication. I appreciated Dr. Paramo's motto that's in her office. Work hard, be nice. That pretty much sums everything up. So, we'll begin audience participation with Herman Spiegel, followed by Olivia Holland.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Assembly members, and hardworking staff. My name is Herman Spiegel. I live in Willow for quite a while. They call me the German because of my accent and my name. But they also know that I thank God every day for living and being a citizen of this wonderful country, where we can have different opinions and still remain friends and be respectful of each other. Regarding the mill rate in Willow, I had the pleasure of meeting the new fire chief last week. I'm impressed with his qualifications, his dedication. I think he'll make a wonderful chief. He knows that he's dedicated to better training, recruitment, and performance standards. And with him in charge, I think we have less embarrassing performances by the Willow Fire Department. I also learned, as far as equipment and facilities goes, that the Willow Fire Department has, 600-some thousand for a new fire station, and also money left over for repairs and acquisitions. They also have a new fire truck paid for by the states being delivered this year. They have a new command vehicle for the fire chief. They have 3,000 yards of new fire hose. It's not new, but it's serviceable for many years. They have these workout suits for their firemen. The chief said they have 2 per fireman. They have 18 firemen, so they have those new suits. So with all this new equipment and new facilities going in and having money for the repairs, I don't see the rationale for a 120% increase of the mill rate from year to year. The rationale is just not there. It's not reasonable. And I would ask each of you individually and collectively to come to a compromise solution where we increase the mill rate according to the need. You know, 5 years from now, yes, he's going to have five fire stations to administer, and then he's going to need a bigger mill rate. But right now, it seems to be there's money all over the place. I heard today about $400,000 being in savings account last year. Never heard of that before. So there's a lot of stuff coming out that is amazing. I think increasing the mill rate just for the equipment, you know, it's not dilapidated, it's not unserviceable. That would be unreasonable. And I ask each of you to find a compromise or to agree on a compromise where we increase it over a number of years. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, members.
Olivia, followed by Haley Holland.
Hi, Assembly members. I am here. I'd like to thank all of you for putting into your budget last meeting $20,000 for our neighborhood park out in Kinnick Goose Bay area. And I just wanted to, it was kind of a shock to us because it was like, wow, that's so great. And so I just wanted to come here and thank you for that and to let you know that that park serves a lot of people in our community and that the Homeowners Association has really worked to keep that park clean and serviceable to the members of our neighborhood and community, and that we hope that throughout the budget process that that funding stays in there for the park because it will definitely be a really good thing for our area. So thank you.
Thank you. Haley, followed by Luke Falk.
Hi, my name is Haley, and I'm for the park also, and I've grown up in a neighborhood that has a park, and over the years it's kind of had some safety issues and stuff that have become more noticeable to kids. And since I'm older, I have a little 5-year-old sister that just loves to be outside and playing and go to the park, but I don't exactly like taking her there because there's kids that get splinters from the wood, and there's concrete pillars that are sticking out of the sand that they can fall down and hurt themselves on. And I'm really glad that you are considering funding for the park because it would be great to have something new and improved in there. And I know that everybody in my neighborhood and community would really like that. So thank you.
Thank you. Luke, followed by Gene Stone.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly. Luke Fulp, Assistant Superintendent for the Matsu Borough School District. Here on behalf of Dr. Promo, myself, and Assistant Superintendent of Instruction Gene Stone, there is a school board meeting taking place tonight at Big Lake Elementary. However, we felt it was important to have representation at this meeting as well. First off, we want to thank you for the budget amendment, which was introduced last week regarding the increased funding to education. That was a part of our request and our ask for the Assembly, and the Assembly followed through with that with a unanimous vote, and we appreciate the support. In addition to that, we want to thank Matthew Beck for his motion that he introduced last week to allow us to retain our fund balance. That was also a part of our request in terms of the FY16 funding package, and really the reason why we're here tonight. We understand that that's some work left to be done on the budget. In terms of that second request for us to allow us to retain 100% of any increase to our unassigned fund balance, there were some questions that came up during the last budget meeting, and I want to just try to address them during my time tonight. But basically, what the school district has in terms of unassigned fund balance as of June 30th, 2014, is $10.8 million. Of that amount, 5.9 has already been committed through the preliminary adopted budget for FY16 by our school board. With the additional cuts that are being required through at least the conference committee operating budget that was agreed upon by the conference committee at the state, which cuts education an additional $16 million across the state, $2 million of that is our portion. So about an eighth of all educational costs are here in the school district, in the Matsu School District. And so $2 million, our school board is not prepared to dip into reserves further. They have instead evaluated different a proposed budget cut to reduce spending by $2 million more, and they're looking at that plan again tonight. So basically what we have is 10.8. We're planning on using 5.9 million of that And we're projecting ending increase in fund balance this year of around $4 million, give or take, that we will replenish some of that. So in terms of what this is going to do to us for setting us up for FY17 and, you know, the financial outlook at the state level still looks dire, and we've received indications from both the governor and the legislature that additional education funding cuts are coming in FY17. Well, we will effectively have, from that $10.8 million, a reduced fund balance, even with our use and replenishing of it, because we're planning on using 5.9 and we're looking at replenishing only $4 million. That would be a result of us being allowed to retain 100% of our fund balance. So we are trying to plan for the future as best we can. We're trying to sustain programs district-wide, and we're looking for your assistance to do so. Thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you for clearing that up. Gene Stone, followed by Eugene Hasselman.
All right. Good evening, Mayor, members of the Assembly. My name is Gene Stone. I'm Assistant Superintendent for the Matsu Borough School District. I would just like to begin with kind of going down memory lane. And so 4 years ago, I believe, Member Arvin, you were in China at the time, right? And on a telephone call, listening in to an assembly meeting, and Dr. Paramo was talking about the $214 million bond proposal, trying to get it on the ballot. There was also discussion of $100 million as and amending that request. And so Member Arvin actually asked the question, you know, how important is it, you know, to have this $214 million bond go to the voters? And Dr. Paramo responded to Member Arvin, well, the question is how do you value schools? And do you want to have the best schools in the state? And so I think Member Arvin sensed and really saw the passion in Dr. Paramo. And I don't think that you were in support of that at the time, but I think you heard the passion in her voice. I think that's how I would describe it. That's what you actually use those words. I hear the passion. He heard that all the way from China. And so I guess what I just want to say is, if you can hear that passion and know that the return on investment is going to come, that you can hear that from China, just imagine what our community thinks of our schools. They see it. We've provided a great return on the investment from the approval of that bond. We've stimulated this economy, and not just for the sake of stimulus, but really based on the sake of need. And so, again, we appreciate the borough coming through for us that time. I think everybody's really proud of everything. There's great evidence of some great things that happened as a result of that. We continue to provide great programs in our district. You know, we have almost 1,800 students who now have accessed online courses, received credit through, you know, Dr. Paramo talks about innovation and choice and customer service. You know, greater technology access for communications with parents through our community. You know, some of the best data and test results in the state. I know some people maybe don't necessarily value that test per se, but we also, when kids leave, we've probably, I think, the only district that provides data in terms of how we prepare kids once they leave the school district and for the workforce, for college, or for the military. And so just asking that the borough come through for us again and, you know, help us be financially healthy with our requests, and that being the support in our 3% and also our fund balance request. So thank you.
Thank you. Eugene, followed by Helen Minos.
My name is Eugene Carl Haberman. I represent myself. I live in Matanuska Valley, and I should also note, as you know, I follow public process. The decision made by the governing body, if it's done right, it's more like in the public interest. If it's, the process is done right. And first, I'd like to thank the borough manager. There was a port commission meeting scheduled for Monday. There was no quorum, and he followed my suggestion that when there's no quorum and there's no informational, you can't have it as an informational meeting, and he did the right thing and guided the Port Commission to stop being there, and they excused themselves and then rescheduled the meeting. That's following the right way, and thank you. I also like to thank the Borough Assembly for canceling the meeting for next Tuesday. As I said, you shouldn't have City Council meetings conflicting with Borough Assembly meetings. The public should have an opportunity to be able to attend either one and not have to decide which one. And there's a City Council meeting in Palmer holding, but unfortunately, City Council Wasilla is holding their normal Monday night's meeting Tuesday, so they're now in conflict. So I'm concerned about that. I'm also concerned, I understand, on the 27th of April, there was a meeting here for constituents by two representatives for their constituents. They advertised it, as I understand, but there was nothing on the website for meetings, so the general public didn't have an idea that this meeting was here. It wasn't on the public calendar, but you see meetings such as community councils and so forth, so I'm really concerned about that. I missed it because that's not the main place where people see meetings. The other thing I'd like to bring up is something you'll be surprised I'm even mentioning. But as you know, I said this before, two of the most important things before a governing body is, number one, the certification of the election, and second is the budget. Now, there's an item, ordinance number, by Mayfield dealing with elections coming up. All there is one public hearing. I strongly recommend that you not just do a one public hearing on this and act on this right now and not delay. The public, when you're dealing with elections, changing election situations, you should have two public hearings. You have it for budget. It should be in the same way you're changing the way elections are run. And that gives me 29 seconds, and thank you very much. I wish I could have a credit on that.
Thank you. Helen, followed by Sammy Taylor.
My name is Helen Munoz. Mr. Mayor, Mr. Manager, and Borough Assembly, I had a very successful meeting with the Deputy Commissioner of the DEC in Juneau on Friday morning for a half hour, and also with Mr. Griffith, who is in charge of all the facilities programs. There is money available at 1% interest on a loan to get something done that I've been talking in front of this Borough Assembly for 42 years. And I'm not going anywhere, and I'm keeping after it, and I'm on the committee that's working, you know, the second committee by this Borough Assembly. This one has been in existence since 2011. So it's time, with the other 85,000 that are not on city sewer in this borough, and you talk about economic development, the Kinnick Arm, I'm not against anything, but get the infrastructure in first, please. And I did work on personal finance. It's in our school system as a required subject for 10 years in ninth grade. It's needed in every school in the United States. So maybe I'll live long enough to get it done in the state of Alaska, because I knew two of the senators that are working on it down there. And I won't take the 3 minutes, but I'm not going anywhere. Thank you.
Thank you. Sammy, followed by Doyle Holmes.
Sammy Taylor, Mid Valley Recycling, once again. Arguably, most Mat-Su borough residents are like oil companies. If there aren't incentives to help them do the environmentally sound choice, they'll take the cheaper, more polluting way. At the Mid-Valley or the Meadow Lakes Community Cleanup block party that we attended last weekend, there were 5 sacks of trash collected, but we had everyone separate the trash, and people were pretty good about it. We got a half a bag of food, 1.5 bags of recycled goods, 2 bags of unseparated stuff, and I bet there was some recyclable stuff in there too, and 1 bag of compostable stuff. So we saved, just in that simple effort, quite a bit of space in the landfill. I also gathered about 50 signatures of folks that requested that you keep the recycling at the Big Lake Transfer Site free once the borough starts hauling our recyclables to the BCRS in Palmer. I spoke with only one person who would do the right thing if it cost him money. Everyone else felt that they'd like to keep it free. And, of course, you have lots of other options, but, again, I'll reiterate, you can put advertising on those dumpsters that are going to be retrofitted. You could even have a sales tax that's earmarked specifically for recycling. If you just go to the grocery store, take the goods and take the packaging, you know how much of it is packaging, and it ends up in the landfill unnecessarily. And, of course, there's always the option of raising the tipping fees for trash that is unseparated, again, to try and keep recycling as cheap as we can, because that's where the incentive is for most of our citizens. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Doyle, followed by Bobby Lewis.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of the Assembly. I wanted to talk a little bit about some confusion as to what happened with the board action in Willow concerning the mill rate. The board was asked by our assemblyman for a recommendation, and we recommended going to the cap, which we thought at that time was the limit. And it would have come out to be 1.44 mills. Looking back on it now, if we would have known we could have gone higher, I would have asked for 1.84, but we have not had a chance to consider that now. And that would allow the actual operating budget to come out of the negative and also give enough money to start replacing capital equipment. The thing that I wanted to talk to you about, if you are going to go to the, have to look at the revenue cap tonight, I would ask that you ask the finance director to give you some kind of an input as to overall money increases that are taking place within all of the service areas and with their fund balances. This year alone, just within the five fire service areas that I looked at, we're looking at over $2 million, an increase this year in revenues to those areas, which if those mill rates were returned to something reasonable this year, that would generate a couple million dollars. That's not even taking a look at the road service areas. So the fund balances within all of the service areas are continuing to increase at an exponential rate. And I would ask that you take a look at those also in the future. I know it's a live rail to be touching, but somebody needs to start looking at it. Okay? Thank you very much.
Mr. Mayor, I've got a question, Mr. Holmes.
Mr. Halter.
Mr. Holmes, you said something about I requested a mill rate. I don't believe I was ever at a fire service area meeting in this past year where I requested a mill rate of any kind from the fire service area board. So when you get kind of light and loose with facts. You got to be careful.
No, sir. We were asked.
You said
to
you.
Go,
I asked you to raise your mill rate.
To go to the cap.
I never talked to the.
What you wanted us to do? Yes, sir. You
so
did.
I did not.
And at the present time, I believe there was a petition turned in tonight with 238 signatures, 221 registered voters that are opposed to a 2.75 mill rate, and asked to put it on the ballot. Thank you.
So is that the petition that Mr. Herman gave us? Okay. Thank you. Note that that's on the record. Bobby Lewis, followed by Jim Houston. And if anybody else wants to speak, they should sign up. There's just a couple more.
My name's Bobby Lewis, Roberta Lewis, really. And good evening, Mr. Mayor and Assembly and the manager and the attorney. When you were up in Willow a few weeks ago and visited us and had your assembly meeting up there, you and I, because I had never heard of all of this, were giving a tale of woe about the needs in regards to our Willow Service Fire Department. Well, I've been talking to people, and I have been attending meetings, And I found out a few things that I found very interesting. First of all, I found out that sometime last year, the Willow Fire Department had in reserve $400,000. Now, they were able to save this and put this in the reserve at the low cap that you're being asked to raise. And at that time, they had the main fire department and the satellite up on Hatcher Pass, which is 11 miles, from, as I understand it, from the original fire department. In the past few months, they have decided to build two new satellite buildings, one at Crystal Lake and the other one on Nancy Lake. The Crystal Lake one is approximately 5 miles from the original fire department, and the Crystal Lake and the Nancy Lake building that they're wanting to buy is 6 miles from the original fire department. They have spent $100,000 for electric to get the electricity to the Crystal Lake thing complex there. They've cleared, they've put in the slab, they put in the well, and so forth. And they spent $65,000 for the new fire chief's wages. We're splitting the wages evidently between Caswell Lakes and Willow, so that that's Mr. Green, the new fire chief, and he seems very good. I don't know that much about being a fire chief, but he seems very competent. And so his fire truck, his command vehicle, and his wages were splitting, and that has cost us $65,000. We still have, according to somebody that I spoke with, $130,000 in reserve, and I think that's something that we need to keep there in case of emergency. Oof. We have
please wrap it up.
A grant for $685,000, another grant for $200,000, another grant for $100,000 for plans. Waco gave us 36 turnouts, which is the uniforms they use while they're doing the fires. We have hoses from another place, and last but not least, $400,000 from the state for a brand new fire truck that is in the process of being delivered to us right now. You've heard people complain on how the mill rate is. And so in conclusion, I would like to ask that someone make a motion that we raise our mill rate 0.50 to a reasonable amount of 1.84, and increase the mill rate each year if needed until we reach our budget needs. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you.
All of that adds up to $1,585,000 that we had at our disposal.
Thank you. Jim, followed by Jim Norcross.
Yes, thank you, Honorable Mayor, Assemblyman, Borough Manager. My name is Jim Houston. I'm speaking as a longtime Willow resident. The state of government, national, state, and local is more than ever under the magnifying glass about budgets and with the budget deficits that are coming around these days. Everyone has their own priorities. Schools, roads, libraries, and fire services, and others are all competing for the same money. Yet the people have voted for a mill rate cap. One of my largest priorities is for proper funding of the Willow Fire Services. The Willow Fire Board voted for an increase to 2.50 and passed the resolution, request for it to go to the ballot. I do agree with that amount of raise, and I agree that it should go to ballot. I would lobby residents to back and pass that amount. Hearing the exchange from Mr. Halter, I have something to say about that actually October of 2013 was Mr. Halter's last appearance at a board meeting. And there's been a lot go on in that time since, and almost all of the expenditures, well, all that could be afforded, have been voted on and passed by the board to support many different things, fire engines, command cars, positions, and many more. I have the minutes with me tonight and can present them from a meeting where we voted to request that the mill rate go to the cap, and it passed unanimously. So I would say please let the people of Willow gain support, back the project, the vote of raising the mill rate to 2.5, because I think that's a reasonable amount, and if you go for more, you'll lose more votes. But any question like this, just as presenting the mill rate cap in the beginning was passed by the public, I think that going over the cap should be passed by the public too. Elsewise, why vote in the first place? But we support our fire services, and we'll get behind it. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
I have a question for Mr. Houston.
Mr. Halter.
Yes.
I notice there's two board members here from the Willow Fire Service area, which is a quorum of, you got three members on your board?
Yes.
Did you give notice of a meeting here tonight? Public meeting?
We don't have a meeting. I'm speaking as a person in the...
But two board members present speaking at this assembly meeting, and it's a quorum of your board. And the Open Meetings Act requires that you give notice and publish it. Was that done? This is the second meeting you've attended an assembly, and you're discussing public Willow Fire Service area.
It is our civic responsibility to respond
to
things
to follow
in our area.
Act.
Okay, Mr. Halter, you made your point. I'm not sure it applies to unelected officials, but we will look into it. Mr. Norcross, followed by Ed McCain.
Mr. Mayor, Assembly members, is there any road board supervisors in here? Thank you. I'm a little bit concerned about the grant money that you received. There's nothing in the grant language, according to the state of Alaska, that prohibits you from buying that land with enmities if they're there. I don't know the mechanics of it, but I do know where it came from. And then, on top of that, some assembly member, after we had proposed this many times, some assembly member called the economic and community development people in Fairbanks and told them we didn't need that grant money to buy that land and buildings. They said that they had a loan for that. Now, I don't know whether that's proper procedure for the assembly, but I would think that's unconscionable that you would turn down money, especially for something that's so well needed by everybody here that admits it. We want fire service. We need fire service. We need reasonable increases, not 7 or 105%. And I'm a little bit upset at you, Mr. Halter, and Mr. Mayor, I'll go through you. I'm a little bit concerned that you let my mill rate, after you asked me, I think it was an 11, if you could reduce it. And I told you no, we had it programmed for the budget for all of our capital projects, so you left it alone. The next year I told you we didn't need it, so you said, all right, we won't take it. That went from 350 to 386. And a month later, I find out that we got a raise in the mill rate. And I asked Mr. Halter about it, and he said, well, he said, the manager suggested I leave it where it's at because of the austere funding from the state. And that's understandable. However, what is really not understandable is why you've done it 2 years in a row. The next year, it still stayed at 8.6, and we had asked for it to be cut. And you finally cut it last year. It shows up this year as 6.50. And that's where it's going to have to stay. I wanted to lower it another mill or a quarter of a mill, but I couldn't because of a fire railroad crossing issue that came up. And so I'm a little bit upset about that. Now, As far as the grant money that you've got, there's no reason why that grant money couldn't be turned back to where you got it and use that money of the state grant. You could purchase that building, and I think it's $685, but I'm not sure. It's $600+. And then you could take and use the rest of that to build surely two fire bays for two vehicles, because you just built one for $385,000 with everything, and you're not required. You got your electricity, your water, and electricity there. You don't have the underground storage or the water storage. But am I done?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just a little bit upset, fellas. And, Mr. Mayor, I don't know whether you can do this, but I would request that you, before this body, tell all of these people here what your results was of that survey between Meadow Lakes, Big Lake, and Willow area. Thank you.
Thank you. Ed McCain. Mr. Mayfield.
Ed McCain.
Oh, just a minute. We've got an assembly person to the floor.
Yeah, I have a question for Mr. Norcross. Were you aware that after the assembly had granted the $200,000 for the building out there, were you aware that certain members of the FSA at that point in time sought to manipulate the original state grant?
What are you saying? What are you saying, sir?
I am saying that after the assembly had passed the $200,000, what's that? Unanimously for the Willow FSA, at a time shortly after that, FSA members sought to manipulate the state grant and have it changed by calling Wes Keller's office, I believe, and having the grant changed. So that's a slightly different story than what you're saying to us. And, you know, it's the assembly makes policy. And we would never expect the FSA board to try to circumvent the will of the assembly. Well, so were you aware of that was a sequence of events?
No, I wasn't aware that you had already approved a grant, but I'll tell you what I was aware of. I was aware that the language always did provide that provision that you could have bought that. And if you'd have checked the language yourselves, you would have realized that you could have got that, used that grant to purchase that.
And I certainly don't mean to be argumentative with you, but if it had always granted that, then why was there an attempt to manipulate the original state grant?
Well, I think you're doing a pretty good job.
Mr. Mayor, sir.
Thank you.
This isn't a debate.
Yeah. Assembly members, please bite your tongues, because this is not a trial. Mr. McCain.
Ed McCain, Willow resident. I have to agree with Assemblyman Mayfield that we've been getting conflicting reports out of borough staff repeatedly on what these grants can be used for. And at that time, we were told absolutely not to buy land. And then somebody from the state comes up and contradicts the borough. Now, as far as this mill rate increase to 2.75, that is going to put us right in the middle of all the other fire services. They go from 4.59 for Sutton to 0.34, which is what Willow's right now. We'll be right in the middle. It isn't like we're going to be doing anything extravagant. The savings account that they talked about, we've been drawing money out of that every year for the last 4 or 5 years to make our yearly expenses for the fire department. And that money has been there for like 15 years or so, but we haven't spent it. It's been 19 years since Willow's got a new fire truck, and right now they're around $500,000 to $600,000 a pop, so we need a real shot in the arm to replace these trucks. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you. Joel Hernandez, and then we're going to close audience participation. You'll need to say your name because it's Armendariz. Armendariz, okay.
Yes, sir. Good job. First of all, I want to thank you folks, the assemblymen and mayor and city manager. I just want to take a few moments to thank you guys. I'm here on behalf of our neighborhood and for you to consider the monies available and the grants for the park there at Harborview Estates. Anyway, I just want to thank you guys for doing a good job. Our plates are full, and we do appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, we'll close audience participation. Did somebody else sign up? Ma'am, I gave two calls for people to sign up so that we would know what was coming. I don't always ask, but I will grant you the opportunity to speak if you wish.
I do.
Go ahead. But when I ask people to sign up, specifically as we're coming towards the end, it's not so that somebody else can get the last word.
Well, I hadn't intended to speak, Mr. Mayor. My name is Patricia Rosnell. However, I would like to clarify something. One of the assembly members just said that the assembly sets policy, and I would just like to remind all of us in the room that the assembly sets policy in accordance with the will of the people, according to the state constitution and the statutes. And it's just good that we all remember that. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. We are ready to go to work. Madam Clerk, would you refresh us? Because we've got things hanging over from last time. We've got new spending requests. And tell us where to start.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Assembly needs to start with Amendment Number 11. And Assembly Member Arvin has an amendment for Amendment Number 11.
Okay, that's the thick yellow sheet. Okay. Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, I move a secondary amendment to Amendment Number 11 by striking in its entirety the six-page attachment to raise fees and charges and inserting in its place the five-page attachment revised fee schedule prepared by Finance. And I do have an amendment. I know that Mr. Mayfield has several queued up, so I'll hold mine until he works through his and yield to him.
Okay. First, Madam Clerk, is just to distinguish between all the pages here, because I've got two.
Mr. Mayor? The one that says prepared by Finance, number 4, revised fee schedule, amendment number 11, is the one that Mr. Arvin just moved.
Okay, and that's the only one that says prepared by Finance?
Number 4, yes.
Okay.
That is the one that's loose by itself is the one that's going in.
Okay, very good. So there's the primary amendment. Mr. Halter,
yes.
Secondary?
Okay, mine's going to be on the first page. It's going to be down under the Health and Welfare Division. The third one down, special events permit, 1,000 plus. I want to move to amend that to exempt the Iron Dog Snow Machine Race and the Iditarod Trail Race from a special events permit, 1,000 plus. For
The Iron Dog and
Iron Dog and Iditarod, because both are huge events. They attract a lot of business and they're both our two largest events in the Matsu Borough that I know of. They're annual events, and they're kind of a economic growth factor for us.
Okay. They compete with the state fair. Okay, Mr. Culligan.
I'd just like to comment. It's kind of an interesting one, Mr. Halter.
when you look at the fee going up and then you cross over to the total revenue of $500 for the year, does it even mean anything to have that fee? I mean, that's just an observation.
If I could respond, there's some other events that are 1,000 plus, I believe, and some of the music festivals that you might want to regulate with this fee.
Okay. And Dave Iron Dog. Assembly member Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a point of clarification. Do those two events currently pay the $500 user fee, or are they already exempt?
Mr. Manager, sounds like we need a briefing on...
We're going to walk the answer up.
Okay.
Thank you, Eileen Probasco, Planning Director. I believe in Title 8 there was already some language added to that to specifically remove those events from that permit requirement. My recollection of we have not required them to get a permit before, and this wouldn't change that.
Okay.
I was just pulling it up on the website online to make sure, our borough code online to make sure that was the case, but that's my recollection. I'll let you know if I find something different.
Mr. Halter doesn't want to withdraw the amendment.
I guess it'd be duplicitous, but I just need to go forward with it, and I guess if it's an exemption already in there, it's just a...
Yeah, no, certainly. I'll try and find it, and whatever you choose to do. Thanks.
Let's call this sled dog or snow machine insurance. So is there any objection to the motion?
Yes.
Assemblymember.
I have a question of procedure here. I'm a little uncomfortable to have an entire list suddenly by amendment replace another list. And number one, I'd like to know what the differences are in between these lists that have been changed. And I specifically requested at our last budget meeting that I wanted to know what the fees were for ambulance if we charged for a ride from 1325 to 1350 to 1375 and 1400, and I do not see that information. And so I really want to know what's going on here, because I haven't had time to consider the differences between these two. And I think this is, I want to know some answers here before we have any motions.
Well, there is an amendment on the floor. So we have
The process isn't right, that's what I'm challenging here. I have a question of process.
Substitution is normal process.
Okay, well, then I have an objection, because I want to know the differences before I take any votes or any action. I think that I and the public deserve to know what the differences are between these two documents, and I also have some questions that I don't have answered that I would like to propose an amendment for myself, and so I'm not ready to vote on this.
On the amendment you're not ready to vote on?
No.
Well, the amendment, before you're ready to vote on the primary amendment, I can understand that logic, but it doesn't fit here. It's pretty plain.
I'll call the question.
Okay. Is there objection to closing debate on the amendment? There's no objection. So is there any objection to the amendment to exempt the Iron Dog and the Iditarod from the 1,000-plus special events permit? There's no objection. So we're now back to the primary amendment. Madam Clerk, would you address the concept of substitution?
Mr. Arvin, you're talking about striking the attached fee table in Amendment Number 11?
No, there was a point of order questioning whether we could substitute.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, the amendment in 11 to strike the fee table that's attached and insert this fee table, that is correct.
Okay. There we are.
Well, that is not the question I asked. I said I want to understand the differences.
He wants to
know. I just received this. I've had like 5 minutes to look at this, and I'm not ready to vote on it. I'm not ready to vote on the primary motion, and I did have in mind making some amendments, but I asked for some information before I made the amendments, and I haven't got that information yet. So I am not ready to vote on the primary amendment. I oppose it.
Okay, then a motion to postpone would be in order.
Okay, I make a motion to postpone this to the last item of this meeting before Assembly comments so that we have some time to take a look at it and understand what it means.
Mr. Mayor, that wouldn't be accurate. You would have to move it to the motion before the mill rate. So it would be the last motion that we have to take up before the mill rate is adopted is Amendment Number 12, so it could be postponed to prior to Amendment Number 12.
Yeah, there's one other motion postponed back there.
That's
Mr. Mayor.
That's 12.
That's the one.
Oh, okay.
So it would have to be before that amendment.
Okay, on the motion to postpone. Assemblymember Arvin.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. So I think if you might give me just a little tiny bit of latitude on the motion to postpone. This was in front of us last meeting. It was known to come back. The body was asked by you to look at the proposed fee changes and approach the different departments if you had specific questions such that you could come back to today's meeting prepared. That happened last meeting. That aside, I'm against the motion to postpone until we take up these single line changes, because at the end of the meeting, I think if you have some questions or if any of the members have questions about specific line items, there'll be a few breaks. They can ask staff in the different departments and maybe get some information provided by the end of the meeting. But there's a number, I think, of very simple changes to include the one that Mr. Halter just brought forward, and I'd like to plow through that. So I would speak against postponing.
Okay. On the motion to postpone, Mr. Beck.
Yeah, I'm in favor of postponing this because I did look through this, Assemblymember Arvin, but I don't have it memorized, and so to sit here and compare 5 pages to 4 pages, I can't say I know it well enough to, I mean, the argument to postpone seems logical, so we're just able to look through it a little bit. We'll have time during the breaks and just have a general sense, so I'm in favor of postponing this.
Assemblymember Doty.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I also support postponing and would like a document that shows the comparative differences between the former piece of paper and this, given that the lines are not consistent from one page to the other.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, I guess to be clear, and it's a little confusing, I understand. This is the document. This has the prior year's fees, has the proposed amended fees, has the net change, calls out the increased revenue per department, per activity. So the prior, the one we were looking at last week, is fairly moot at this point. And again, I support the motion to postpone, but not at this moment. Let's go ahead and take these up line by line, and then we'll have what is arriving to be a final document to take up at a later date if you have additional questions to be asked of staff. Otherwise, we're going to find ourselves at the end of the meeting going through amendments that are going to be like a surprise attack on those opposed to postponement. As far as procedure and efficiency, if we can move these handful of changes to a handful of lines, then I think it will be a better suited document to take up to postpone to the end of the meeting. That's my point.
Okay, is anybody else? Assemblymember Culligan.
I can appreciate the drama, but I do want to point out one basic difference between these two sheets that may explain, and it would be nice if staff would comment, but the difference between 5 pages and 6 pages, as I can see it, mostly has to do that the previous one had headers on each page. The second one doesn't have those headers, so it's a shorter document. If there's any other comments, but that's basic observation. I think the line items are pretty much the same.
The manager would like to speak.
Young had the finance director on the meat of this. Nothing has changed, but Tammy can kind of explain. It's just a little cleanup work that was done.
Ms. Clayton?
Yes, thank you. The manager's correct. I think you'll remember that when we were here a week ago, we discovered that there was an addition error. And so we went back, and it was with some of the set the formulas in some of the cells. We realized we're incorrect. So we got those formulas correct. And as Mr. Culligan said, another reason this was reduced is the font is somewhat smaller. But I had Cheyenne check every single line item that was on here, and it was the same line item that was on the previous one.
Mr. Moosey.
Yes, Tammy, would it be accurate to say that the current fee and the proposed 2016 fee and the net change on individual fee, that has never changed? What has changed is our anticipated revenues. Is that fair?
Correct. Right.
Okay, on the motion to postpone, I've heard just till next to the last item on the budget.
Point of order?
Your point?
Without taking up the handful of amendments?
Right now, this is to postpone right now, yes.
Yeah, I'm still objecting.
Okay, so on the motion to postpone, put it on the board.
Mr. Mayor, the motion failed with Assemblymembers Doty, Sykes, and Beck in support.
Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yeah, consistent with the opening statement, when I move the secondary amendment, I would yield to Mr. Mayfield to move his amendments. And I have one of my own.
I thought you said halter. Okay. Mr. Mayfield.
Thank you, Assemblyman Arvin and Mr. Mayor. I'd like to amend the fee schedules on the Brett Memorial Ice Arena. Starting with number three, so I'd like to amend the hourly rate to $250. The next item to from $160 to $200. The very next item from $225 to $250. The next item from $175 to $200. And then the next item from $75 to $85. Very next item from $120 to $130.
Would you read the line headings on those?
Yes, so. I will. Summer fun.
Start over.
Okay, thank you. Okay, well, I will. The hourly private ice rental prime time September 1st through March 31st.
Yeah.
From $210 to $250.
Okay.
Hourly private ice rental non-prime time, April 1st through August 31st, from $160 to $200. Hourly private ice rental paid gate prime time, September 1st through March 31st, from $225 to $250. Hourly private ice rental paid gate non-prime time April 1st through August 31st from $175 to $200. Individual learn to skate, 15 minutes learn to skate, 15-minute instruction from $75 to $85. Summer fun hockey mites bantams package from $120 to $130. Summer fun hockey U16 through U18 package, $120 to $130. And party package includes 1 hour private locker room and 10 skaters from $80 to $100. And lastly, each individual skater from $3 to $5. And just, if I may speak in favor of that, we subsidize the Brett quite heavily, and I'm concerned that we're interfering with private enterprise as a governmental agency. So I think that these rate increases are in order.
Thank you. Further discussion, Assemblymember Doty.
Thank you, through the mayor, to Assemblymember Mayfield. Can you give me comparison prices for similar ice within the Matsu Borough?
Yes, some of the private enterprise prices, I think, are, if I'm recalling this correctly, I believe the Wasilla Ice Rink is $225. And I may be mistaken on that. I do have some figures written down in doing my research, but
Don't have them with me at this time, unfortunately. The Big Lake Community Center, Lions Center, is $195. You know, they're a nonprofit agency, you know, looking to try to break even. Anchorage, the Anchorage ice time is about $350, $360, excuse me. Average is, my understanding is the average statewide is $350.
Okay. Assemblymember Collier.
Yeah, I was just going to briefly speak against the motion. It's not that I'm unsupportive overall, I've talked to the gentleman from Big Lake and share their concerns over trying to compete with other subsidized, and we have purposely over the years, individuals from this body have kept them low to support youth hockey, which I'm also supportive of, but we've got to kind of bring them in line. I think that my personal opinion is that we need to do it somewhat in stages over the next several years, not all at once, and I think what the staff proposed kind of accomplishes that, but we've got to raise the fees at some point to be able to plow back in to do the improvements of the facility. And although I know where we're headed, I think for this year I'm supportive of what's originally in front of us as a first step, and next year with the agreement. Otherwise, I think that the true users are going to get hit, and we have different problems. And that's the tough one for me. I would like to have an incremental step to that. And although I see the need in that result.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So if you pull the first two items off, the balance of the proposed increases are anywhere from 10 to 18%. So it's not an enormous jump. And so I'm not sure that incremental argument really is valid, because it's pretty tempered. Maybe the maker of the motion might want to consider the first two items instead of 210 to 250 and 160 to 200, something a little different, and I'd be prepared to make a secondary on that.
This is a secondary. You can make a tertiary if you want.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like a follow-up if I could. Mr. Mayor, the follow-up to that comment is that so the users of this, even at 18%, is a significant increase when they're budgeting and the like. Just like any other youth club, et cetera, it's a big deal. And I'd just like the opportunity for them year to year. I mean, if it's 18% and then it's next year it's 18%, but to have the entire burden all at once when they're on fixed budgets and they're out raising money and all sorts of stuff for youth hockey as well as other sports, and I think my agreement or understanding was we were going to kind of do that incrementally, but I'm very understanding of the Big Lake privately run nonprofit entity as well. So,
okay, Assemblymember Mayfield.
Yeah, I don't think that we're passing on the cost all at one time. My concern is that Brett needs a lot of work, and the Freon system. I guess in the past that has leaked. They've had to evacuate the building. They know they have to do an awful lot of work to that system. And we keep subsidizing that without taking really any other increase other than very small incremental increases. And, we need to get to the point where we're not necessarily in the case of the Brett, but we need to start thinking revenue, and how we can kind of offset some of our cost. And the way to do that, at least partially, one way to do that is to pass those fees on to the users.
we certainly don't want new taxes. So, you know, I consider these increases to be very incremental. Hope that you agree.
Ready for the question? Assemblymember Sykes, I'm sorry, your hand was hidden there.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to speak in support of the amended fees. It is true, as I've looked through the information from our previous years, that we haven't even covered our fixed costs as inflation rises. We have not. We have deferred maintenance that gets worse every year that we don't fix. And at the same time, we've lowered mill rates and we've cut off some of our own revenue streams. And so I think this is a very reasonable, a small request to make for the users. I think it does affect, there's a safety issue here in terms of what my priorities are for this budget. It's education, health, and safety that we have to put at the top of the list that our needs are, and these are not gigantic raises, and just the electricity bills alone are probably not covered by this fee raise, so I'm going to support them.
Assemblymember Doty.
Thank you, sir, the Mayor. Just a comment to the proposer of this amendment. The consideration that was proposed that could be a tertiary amendment is unclear. Cannot happen. Therefore, I would restate the consideration for adjusting your amendment.
Yeah, his amendment is all right, but if you don't like this, you can vote it down or divide the question. Are we ready for the question? I've heard objections, so I'll put it on the board. This is for the package of ICE raises.
Assemblymember Halter?
Mr. Mayor?
The amendment passes with Assemblymember Doty and Culligan opposed.
Mr. Arvin?
To the prior secondary amendment, I would offer a new amendment that hourly private ICE, in deference to Mr. Culligan and Ms. Doty, hourly private ICE rental prime time, September 1 to March 31st. Originally, it's currently now at $250. I would move to reduce that to $225. The second item, hourly private ICE rental non-prime time, April 1 to August 31st. Sitting now at $200, I would move to reduce that to $180.
Okay. All we got is the numbers. Mr. Culligan.
So I'll speak in support of that, but as stated earlier that this is a health and safety issue, this has nothing to do here where this money is going to affect health and safety or do anything to improve those repairs. These are just fees that go to the general fund. So I think that's the other shoe to drop here, or at least this year figure out. I mean, I can appreciate that, and like, I just wanted to point out that this current action, Mr. Sykes, doesn't have anything to do with health and safety. It's drama that has to do with raising fees. It still doesn't raise the money or address the need to repair some of these facilities. And next we could talk about swimming, I guess. Anyway, thanks.
Okay, we're ready for the question. Is there objection? Hearing none, those stand. Which brings us back to the primary motion, which is the packet. Mr. Arvin.
Mr. Mayfield, have you moved all your amendments? I mean, on this rate sheet?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Thank you.
Mr. Arvin.
The final page, municipal waste disposal at central landfill per ton. The proposed FY16 amount is $115.25 a ton. I propose to move that to $125 a ton. And I would ask the finance director, Ms. Clayton, so we've got from the prior year, we started at 110, staff recommended 115, $115.25 for a net change increase of $5.25. My amendment for an additional revenue increase for 16 of $370,500. My amendment moves it up an additional $10. So is the based on estimated volumes, would that bring the FY16 revenue to near $1 million than 370?
That's a big jump to get to $1 million.
My math isn't coming out right. Hang on just a minute.
My math puts it closer to 500. Really? Okay.
I got to go talk to Terry because it's not coming out right for some reason.
Mr. Mayor, may we brief at ease?
Let's come back at 20 after. We're due for a break anyway.
Mr. Mayor, the increase from the 115.25 to 125 would bring an additional revenue of $688,262. For a total of $1,058,762.
Congratulations, Mr. Arvin. Mr. Halter, well, for being pretty close. Did you want to speak to that, Mr. Halter? No? Okay. Any more discussion? Is there any objection? Go ahead.
Just another comment. So, very briefly, during my first term, the landfill was running a deficit annually of somewhere around $5 million a year. And we have incrementally, methodically, stepped it up to bring it to a point where it's a user cost maker, user cost payer. And we're just about there, and I think that this helps us to get there. So I'd appreciate your support.
Mr. Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do have a point of information that I'd like to, maybe Assemblymember Arvin knows the answer, but maybe Mr. Dolan does. Is the effect of the 125, which is a bit of a leap from the 110, do we suspect that there are going to be fewer trash collections, or is one question. The second one, is this keeping us priced within what we think the market is? In other words, at some point, if we're charging this much, we may actually help create a for-profit business that will be willing to do it for cheaper, which would be okay. But I just want to understand that the price rise is something that is desirable and reasonable.
Assemblymember Sykes, the raise was on the next column from 115.25 to 125. Go ahead, Mr. Manager.
Yeah, I'd like Terry Dolan to address that. And essentially, the question is, are we pricing ourselves out of customers?
Mm-hmm. Are they going to drive to Anchorage?
Terry Dolan, Director of Public Works. Through the mayor to Mr. Sykes. So I think it's a complicated question. It's difficult to answer, certainly from the hip. Anytime we increase our rates, we can expect some damage to the demand for our service. However, there is only one landfill here in the borough for municipal waste. And so your commercial operators here, their only choice would be potentially to drive to Anchorage. Hard for me to tell if they'll do that. I doubt they will. with these numbers, but what we can reasonably expect them to do is pass this increase along to their customers. I think that answers at least the first part of the question.
So do you see the rise instead of the recommended 115 to 125 as something that's still reasonable?
I do believe it's reasonable. It certainly will put us in a position where we're not operating at a deficit anymore on an annual basis. And we have a significant amount of debt accumulated inside the enterprise fund that needs to be paid off over time. We're within a year or two of having to open or start opening another cell. These cells only last about 5 years, and that will require us to accumulate additional debt. And there'll be future cell closures as well that cost in the millions of dollars. So I think the money will be well spent, and next year when we come before you, we'll have a better idea of the impact of this. And if that is appropriate at the time, you certainly could make other adjustments to the rates. And I would mention also that Mr. Halter asked me a moment ago if this could help offset the cost of recycling at the transfer sites, and I believe it certainly could. Certainly the revenues can be used to do any of those types of things that you would like to do with them.
Thank you.
But what is the price in Anchorage, this equivalent component? Do you know?
Mr. Mayor, I do not know off the top of my head, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
I believe that our original request was in the same vicinity, but all the other landfills that are operated around the state are subsidized by property taxes in some manner or another. Some boroughs offer free trash service, and the entire cost of the service is borne by property taxes. So it's very difficult to compare apples to apples. The enterprise fund that we have that doesn't use any property tax funds at all to the other municipalities.
Mr. Arben.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Dolan. So to your point, maybe to Ms. Clayton, what is the liability now regarding the enterprise fund at the landfill? And that's if, for example, this becomes a revenue generator, cost that we're bringing in more revenue than it actually takes to operate, now have an opportunity to pay down that debt.
Ms. Clayton.
Through the mayor to Mr. Arvin, at July 1st, 2015, the total outstanding debt is $4,135,600.
Thank you. Is there further discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, that passes. Assemblymember Doty, and then Assemblymember Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have an amendment.
On the fee?
Same page, same location, and it says the third line down where it says construction and demolition debris disposal fee per ton.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at the number 87 per ton and would like to change that to $100 per ton in accordance with the recent change that happened just prior to this. There's a second part to this. I don't know if you want them together or not.
Okay.
In addition, I'd like to eliminate the recycling disposal per bag charge of $2.
Which line is
that?
That's
the second to the bottom.
Oh, remove that?
Correct.
Okay.
We'll sponsor that amendment, please.
Okay. Got to be quick.
I've asked to the mayor, I've asked for the actual calculated number for what that would generate.
Ms. Clayton?
Yes. Through the mayor to Mrs. Doty. Let me see here. Okay. By increasing that $13, that'll bring in an additional $335,086 for a total increase of $515,517.
Okay. And that would also go in the enterprise fund?
Correct.
Okay. And that... Okay.
Are we ready for any more amendments on the fees? Mr. Beck, yeah, you were next.
Do we need to vote on that?
Did we?
No.
I thought I'd ask for objections. Is there any objections? Sorry.
I need to make a change. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Additional. I gave you the grand total for the $13 or for the.
Yeah, the $335 is the grand total.
Of the change.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Rather than the $500.
Let me just do one quick check.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, so the grand total would be the 515.
Oh, it is. Okay. Okay. Mr. Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to amend under
we haven't finished this.
Oh, we haven't.
Is there any objection to this? Both the construction stuff and the recycling bags. No objection. Okay, pass. Mr. Beck.
Thank you. I have a secondary amendment under animal control. The first and second lines, animal care for Wasilla and animal care for Palmer. And I'd like just to see those the same. So what I did is I added those two together, and I divided by two. And so I'd like to change 19,788 for Wasilla and 20,808 for Palmer, and I'd like to change each of those to 20,298, so they're both equal, if I've done my math correctly. The way they came up with this number, I spoke with Director Vardaman, and it was like they had a very small difference in calls between Palmer and Wasilla, but we're not going to go to Wasilla and say, hey, we met your quota this year for coming to calls. I mean, there's no. It's a very minimal difference, and so I think it should just be even between the two cities.
Could you address that's not set by contract some way, Ms. Clayton?
I cannot address it, but the manager, Ms. Vardaman, can.
Yeah, I would double-check that because I know we have contracts with both of them, and
That is correct, and the contract amount can be anything the assembly says it is, and this does not cover our costs. This is getting a little bit closer to what our costs are for the areas provided, because animal care is a non-area wide, and so we charge the rest of our communities. So if approved by the assembly, the 298, that will be our agreement with them to provide those services for each city.
It wouldn't mess up the contract.
Essentially, it would just be a new rate with that contract.
Okay. Ms. Clayton, did you double-check the math? Give us the average between those two.
$22,350. $22,000? Oh. You wanted them both the same, right?
Right.
Whoops, I just added the line above it. $20,298.
Oh, yeah, that's the number we heard before. Okay. So, is there any further discussion? Any Assemblymember Culligan?
It's kind of like window dressing, but is this based? I have a question. Is this based on volume, or is this based on the contracts? I mean, I'm kind of curious. I of course feel that Palmer should pay more, just for the record. But I just wanted to, just clarify.
Well, that was the original thought for Palmer to pay more, but Mr. Beck, I think, is defending his territory. This is just a percent of what it costs, and we have an agreement, and it's worked out pretty well. I think we've raised them the last couple years and trying to keep pace with that. Carol, did you come and explain anything exactly on what our costs are and how we arrived at the 1978 and the 2808 until it was changed?
Counting the number of animals that come in from the cities, Wasilla and Palmer pay or contribute 4.4 and 4.9% of the animals the shelter gets. So George, or Mr. Hayes, sorry, asked me to work up the numbers for their fair share of the budget. So that's why theirs is just a little bit higher.
And just to clarify, if there is like an after-call call-out, we additionally charge the cities for extra services. Is that correct?
Right, individual for the officer work.
Okay. Are we ready for the question? I've heard sort of an objection, so put it on the board. The motion is to make Palmer and Wasilla the same at $20,298.
Yeah. Okay, through the mayor, I'm not changing the total amount that we're gaining to help pay for these services. I'm just balancing it between the two cities.
I think we got that. Are we ready for the question? Is there objection? There's no objection. So that's done. And Assemblymember Sykes is next.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to make some amendments to emergency services. I think that the numbers that are arrived at in this proposal are reasonable, but I would like to see them go up just a touch. So I'm under emergency services, the first three lines, BLS, ambulance, ALS, and ambulance, ALS level 2. I propose to raise another $20 under BLS, another $20 under ALS, and another $25 under ALS level 2.
Well, read, go back and tell us which line you're on again, under emergency services.
I said the first three lines, and the I read them off, BLS, ambulance rates ALS, and ambulance rates ALS level 2. Those are the first three lines under emergency services.
Okay.
On page 2 of the packet.
Right.
I want to raise the fee for BLS from $800 to $840. Instead of $820, I want to raise the ALS rates from $920 to $940. I mean $900 to $940 instead of $920, and the ambulance rates for ALS level 2 from $950 to $1,000, and that would put us at the same level as Fairbanks. My understanding.
You're going from $975 to.
I misspoke. I'm raising from $950 to $1,000 instead of $975. And $1,000, I believe, is the rate that Fairbanks charges.
Yeah, the motion with this primary motion, you're starting from $975. You shouldn't be going back to last year.
Oh, I see. Okay. So, well, the numbers are $840. $940 and $1,000, respectively.
Okay, I got it. Anybody else want to speak to that? Mr. Mayfield?
Through the mayor, to the manager, I suppose. That actually gives me an opportunity, because I wanted to ask the question of whether or not we've vetted the emergency services fees. According to what's usual and customary paid by insurance companies. So do we have a reading on that at this point?
Mr. Manager?
Yes. We have done the comparisons with other area users. We believe we're going to be within the usual customary charges. One of the things that, many of our patients are Medicaid, Medicare, and they only pay to a certain limit. So we can't say if we increase $20 that for every user we're going to get the $20 additional dollars. It's based upon some reimbursement, but that, as you know, with our change from going from to more full-time service and equipment needs, the extra revenue sure is beneficial.
So, if I may, so if the user, for let's say for instance, ambulance rate, basic life support, BLS, if the user gets a bill for $840, and that gets passed on to the insurance company decides that usual and customary fee is $800, do we still pass on the unpaid balance to the user or no?
I'm going to have the finance director address that.
Through the mayor to Assemblymember Mayfield, we do provide it. It's not a Medicare or Medicaid patient.
Further discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, those pass. Mr. Culligan, you have the floor.
So I had a question under trail use permits. I was hoping manager or staff. So we have a new on the second page of the trail use permits. There's a new film production permits. The borough must be named as additionally insured. I was hoping somebody could define what filming production means and if there's any.
Mr. Manager?
Yeah, I would like you to come and address that. As you know, we have a reality TV mecca here, and so we're trying to take advantage and cover some of our costs.
Through the mayor to Assemblyman Culligan, we are experiencing an increasing number of requests from film production companies to film within the borough. Oftentimes, the calls come in Friday at 3 o'clock to film Saturday. And what we would like to do is formalize the process, have a review done by not only our staff, but also legal department and any other department that it may cross. We want emergency services to be notified, and then also have a fee associated with that. We certainly aren't against the filming. I think it does bring a lot of tourism to the state of Alaska. We also would like to be able to weed out the less than professional filming that may go on within our parks. We also want to be able to review the content of the filming that would be done on our public lands.
So I have a comment about that. So I would like to have you, I'm in favor of the fee, but at I'm asking through the manager, I would like some definition of that to be in our code. I would like to bring forward, since I'm in the drone business, that those operators doing reality TV shows are also up here without FAA permits, using aerial vehicles, and the like. And not that I think that's unsafe or anything, but I think that's a provision that they should be able, if we're going to charge a fee, that's one way for us to check and make sure they know that they need to have those permits. Number two, I'm not in favor of. I think there's plenty of mountain bikers, recreational, whether it's water skiing, paragliding, et cetera, where you capture video content over our lands that I think are not professional. I mean, they're very well done, and people put them on YouTube for their own personal use. I think that definition needs to not include that. So I would like to propose that we approve the fee, but direct management to define that we approve at the table, while also I'll be bringing forward a called Know Before You Fly, that we as a community support following regulations for unmanned aerial systems. So.
Thank you. Assemblymember Arvin. Who?
I'll yield to Ms. Doty. She already had it before I did.
Okay. Did not catch that, Ms. Doty.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A little tongue-in-cheek, but this is under trails, and reality TV happens lots of different places besides trails. In fact, we could have a reality Judge Mayor Judy kind of scene. So I just, it may be entitled, I mean, it needs to be a little cleaned up in the title.
Okay, Mr. Arvin.
Yeah, so interesting, right? There is a bevy of reality TV shows, not only in the Valley, but in Alaska in general. How do you find out, or how does the potential filmer find out that there's a fee required? What mechanism do you have in place to even collect a fee?
Through the mayor to Assembly in Arvin, there's a subculture out there of people within Alaska who are assisting these out-of-state companies with who to contact, who to go to get the permit to film on said property or within said government jurisdiction. And so that's how they generally find out about our department, because our department generally oversees the lands. And that's how I've got involved with it. And I have not felt comfortable with a lack of procedure to vet some of these shows. And some of these shows are entertaining, but maybe not, don't show a particular trail or a particular landmark that we have in the Valley in the best light, and we want to make sure that the public is protected from seeing a potentially adult version of wildlife. So they generally call our department. The call eventually is shifted to me, and then I begin working with them very quickly to make sure that the public that uses those trails is not going to be impacted, the resource is not going to be impacted, and that the borough is named as an additional insured on their policy. And then this fee will, of course, then hopefully weed out the unprepared companies that come in. And again, the people that post on YouTube, and I've posted on YouTube, and our trail crew posts on YouTube, would not be affected by this. This is strictly the production stuff for major networks.
Assemblymember Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through the mayor to Hugh. Would the permit sometimes review possibly lead to, say, the posting of bond if some of our resources might be at risk? And something came up recently about a legal question. Either it was injury or prohibiting if we give, say, a film crew exclusive access to a trail and the public is not allowed in. Are those some of the things that would be the subject of a permit?
Through the mayor to Assemblyman Sykes. Any of the crews that I have worked with over the last couple of years, we have told them that the public is not precluded from that resource under any circumstances. We also review what they're trying to do within that piece of property. In other words, we aren't going to allow vehicle access on a non-motorized area, those kinds of things.
We're way off. We should just be discussing the fee right now. We can work on legislation and stuff later on. Were you done, Mr. Sykes?
Until you cut me off, yeah.
Well, we're going to have to discipline ourselves, or we'll be here all night. Mr. Halter.
I want to move to amend the title.
There's no secondary amendment. Mr. Halter.
I want to move to amend the title. I want to move to delete trail use permits and substitute filming and other required permits as the title. Because it doesn't...
So what's your language, Mr. Motion Maker?
Filming and other required permits. Trail use. I don't see how trail use really has anything to do with.
Can we use land use?
Filming and land use permits would be no.
What's your pleasure?
I don't have it. Filming and
land use permits is fine with me.
That's broad enough to cover everything there. Filming and land use permits. Mr. Culligan.
So, Mr. Mayor, following your comment about not negotiating this tonight, one thing is the fee, but with staff, when we actually talk about what the definition is, there's all sorts of roll-down effects of people shooting commercials and other stuff that aren't really feature films, et cetera. So, but for tonight, I'm just asking that we move on with the vote and then know what's coming. Thank you.
Okay. It's a very simple motion to change the title here to filming and land use permits. Is there objection? Hearing none. That passes. And who on fees? Are we done with the fees? We have the primary motion now as amended. Any further discussion? Any objection? Assemblymember Sykes.
Before we vote, I would like to know what the net effect of all of the changes is that we've made.
Ms. Clayton.
We're going to have to take a minute because I'm still figuring them out.
Okay. Do you want to postpone action on this or do you want to take a break? Okay. Yeah, we do need to keep going here tonight because there's a bunch of things. Let's come back in 5 minutes, 5 to 8.
Almost.
Not quite. Okay. Are you ready, Tammy?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Let's come back to order.
Mr. Mayor, you're on record.
Okay. We're back on the record. Ms. Clayton, do you have a number for us?
Yes. In the area-wide fund, it increased it an additional $22,000. Oops. Let me restate that because I didn't add the ambulance fees in there. In the area-wide fund, it increased an additional $136,037. And in solid waste, an additional $1,013,348. For a total increase of $1,149,385.
Is that the area-wide?
No, that is solid waste. That's the grand total.
Okay.
The area wide was 136,037.
Okay. Thank you. We're now on the primary motion on Amendment 11, the fee schedule. Is there further discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, we got one amendment taken care of in 2 hours. So, we're back to the main motion.
The next one you're taking up is amendment number 15.
So we're taking up amendment number 15. Madam Clerk, would you read that, please?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's area-wide capital projects tab O. It was to amend the area-wide fund capital projects by inserting $500,000 for the remount of 4 ambulances. Assemblymember Beck moved a secondary for 2 ambulances for $260,000. The secondary passed. The primary passed as amended. Matthew Beck moved to move to reconsider the motion, and so it is back on the floor.
Okay.
The primary as amended.
Okay, so we have the primary as amended with 2 ambulances remounted. What's your pleasure? Assemblymember Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Could Director of Finance, please, through the Mayor, please remind us what the current mill rate is before we pass this, and what the new mill rate would be if we pass this.
Ms. Clayton.
Yes. Okay. With what has been passed to date, I come up with 9.964. And so with this, okay, the amendment's at 260.
The amendment is at 500,000.
Oh, 500.
Is it 260? 500 was for the four. That's right. 260.
Let me see if I'm in agreement. Okay, can I confer for a minute because we don't agree?
Okay. Mr. Mayfield?
Could we also have the director figure a $474,400 mill rate, adding that rather than the 260? Just for comparison.
Okay. We'll tackle that when we get the 260.
Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, the mill rate right now with 260,000 in there is 9.948.
There was a request that you do it instead of 260 with 474,400.
With 474,400 instead of 260, that would bring it to 9.974.
Okay, Assemblymember Beck, you have the floor.
Yeah, now that I have that information, I'm willing to vote this down and do another second, or have someone else propose another secondary amendment that gets us the 474,400 and keeps us under 10 mil.
This is a primary amendment as amended, so this can be amended.
We can do another secondary then?
Yeah.
Okay, then I'd like to propose a secondary amendment to this that instead of the two ambulances for $260,000 that we consider option B on the memorandum that was provided to us by Manager Moosey this evening with regards to it. Do I need to read that or is that out public knowledge?
Well, already? What's the number? Was that an even?
It says if the borough were instead to purchase new ambulances, the cost would be approximately $175,000 per ambulance, or a total of $2,100,000. The bank would only finance these for 60 months with semi-annual payments. Based on our current rates, the payments would range from $228,200 to $237,200 each, or $456,400 to $474,400 per year. It would take 260 days to complete.
So your motion is to change 260 to 474,400?
Yes.
Okay.
And could I add up?
Mr. Halter.
The number would be from 2 to 12 ambulances.
It would be from
12.
Okay.
New ones.
Right. New ones? Okay. So we're changing the purchasing mechanism as well then. I did not read the manager's memo on that. So this is,
Mr. Mayor.
Madam Clerk, could you make very clear what we're doing here? We're doing more than raising a number.
Mr. Mayor, the secondary amendment is to strike $260,000 and insert $474,400 in its place, to strike two ambulances and insert 12 ambulances.
12 new ambulances.
clarify? Well, you can clarify as long as it is what the motion officially says. I need something in.
I believe it is, Mr. Mayor. The second option that was provided by Director Clayton is to purchase 12 new ambulances financed over 60 months at a price of $474,400 per year. That would be the maximum price. That's it in a nutshell. It does provide us an opportunity to replace all 12 ambulances that have outlived their time frame at this point. And rather than replace two, which was the original amendment.
So the numbers for the remounts, was that based on borrowed money or straight?
Yes,
it was straight mill rate.
The remounts, option A that was provided by Director Clayton was to finance all 12 remounts. However, the banks would only finance those at 36 months, so the cost ended up being, even though the remounts are cheaper, the cost ended up being greater because of the shorter period of time.
Okay, just so we all know what's happening, Assemblymember Sykes and then Assemblymember Arvin.
Well, I think that there needs to be a little further clarification here. The first paragraph talks about ambulance remounts for a total of $1.6 million. The bank would finance these for 36 months with semi-annual payments. And so you're talking about remounts and repaying it in 36 months. The second one is for new vehicles, but you get 5 years, but you have to pay for 5 years, and you're paying $474 per year. So it's not just a question of an amount, because it is going to go on for either 3 years or it's going to go on for 5 years. And so and I'm not clear. It is 12 new ambulances, correct? Is it still 12 for the remounts? I think that we really need to consider taking off a smaller bite of this, because I think that's a bit much.
Okay, this is a secondary amendment. Assemblymember Arvin.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So option A or option B, both are rent-to-own. And in a rent-to-own program, the longer you go, the more it costs you, right? The difference between these, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, we've heard testimony before regarding equipment and refurbishment. It's my understanding, based on prior testimony, that these are going back to the factory. They are doing the refurbishment. They are setting the used remounts on new chassis and new undercarriage and new facility, new underbodies. And when they come back, they're effectively brand new and under warranty. Is that a true statement? I'm getting nods in the back. Yes. So when you look at the straight line math, take $578,000, and if I'm off on the amendment, let me know, but I don't think I am. $578,400 per year for 36 months is $1.735 million.
It's $474,000
for 3 years.
He's looking at option A.
I'm looking at option A for the remounts. I'm taking the higher number.
Yeah, you're comparing the
A and B.
A and B, yeah.
Okay. $578,000 a year for 3 years. Option B is $474,000 a year for 5 years. The annual cost difference for the first 3 years is $100,000. So, You're going to reduce your annual payment for 3 years by $100,000 a year to end up paying $636,000 at the end of 5 years more than you would have paid. I think it's a no-brainer that we take the remounts. They're coming out of the factory brand new. It's paid off in 3 years. And we have 12 new ambulances that are factory warrantied. And save $636,000. Unless my math's wrong.
Okay, so you're
I'm not
speaking,
sure if I'm speaking for or against, because I don't know what the secondary amendment is.
Well, the secondary is for new ambulances.
So I would be speaking against that.
Okay.
And I would go with option A.
Okay. Assemblymember Mayfield.
Yeah. In actuality, I do agree with Assemblymember Arvin. The reason why I submitted the 400 or felt that the 474,000 as proposed by Assemblymember Beck was proper was keeping the mill rate lower. And when we brought the original amendment forward, which said 500,000, you know, everybody had some concern with that dollar figure. So I am truly in favor of the 578,400 financed at 36 months rather than stretching it out over five years and having it at 474. However, I am wondering what the impact to the mill rate is, because I have a target mill rate in my mind, and I don't want to exceed that. So,
Four.
Obviously. So, can we have Director Clayton refigure that at the 578,400 figure?
Assemblymember Colligan.
While she's doing that, I might have a kind of question for the attorney and finances. You know, when we enter the borough into a financial arrangement versus bonds, are there limitations of us binding future assemblies into costs? Could you just let us know how that's handled in a government organization versus a private company?
Mr. Spropoulos.
No, the financing through the mayor to assembly members, the financing would have to be an agreement that is subject to annual appropriation. And so I'm sure the banks are going to want to lien hold interest, possessory interest in the vehicles until they're paid off. So it'll be much like any other car payment. If you don't make it, they're going to come repo whatever it is. And as long as it's subject to appropriation, then it's legal. And then future assemblies can decide to keep paying for them or not.
Assemblymember Doty.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just some clarification. As I understand it, the original motion here before it was modified was about $500,000 for four ambulances that were new. It seems to me that encumbering future budgetary discussions at a date today for buying on time is not the best move given the future budgetary issues that we're going to be dealing with in the next 2 years. So I speak toward a motion that would allow us to outright buy remade rather than new, because I believe they're equivalent, and limit the number of ambulances that we buy at a time so that we have outright ownership and so that we can sequentially replace the fleet rather than all at once, because there are some issues with replacement of a fleet and then how many years later, 12 years later, you also now have to replace an entire fleet again.
Let's have the Ms. Clayton, do you have a number on the 578?
Yes, 9.987.
Okay. Is there further discussion on buying 12 new ambulances? I've heard objection, so put it on the board.
Whoa. Mr. Mayor, failed unanimously.
I should have just asked for unanimous discontent. Assemblymember Sykes and then Assemblymember Mayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to make a secondary amendment along the lines that Assemblymember Doty suggested. My notes also reflect not four new ambulances, but four rebuilt ambulances from where we left this last, and so I would move to approve, I believe it's one, the original thing was 500,000, so if we can get the four rebuilds for that, that's what I would move to.
That's clarification.
Madam Clerk, is that what's on the table right now?
Mr. Mayor, that was amended to 260,000 for two ambulances.
Right. And that's what's on the table right now?
Yes.
So I'm making a secondary amendment.
Well, all you do is vote this down, and then and you'll have what you want.
Okay. That's, I don't know. I'm not clear on that.
Well, the primary amendment was for 500,000. No. Mr. Spropoulos. Four.
Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, so at the prior meeting, the primary amendment passed, and then it was adopted at $260,000, and then there was a motion to reconsider and put it off till tonight.
Uh-huh.
If you vote this down, there won't be an amendment. There'll be nothing.
Oh, okay.
You have to start completely over.
Okay. I guess that's why we have attorneys here. So, we're at 260. Well, Mr. Sykes was in the middle of amending that.
Is there? My secondary amendment is to make it to 500,000 for four ambulances. That's what I'm proposing.
Okay. Mr. Beck.
Through the mayor, per our discussion the other night, the reason I reconsidered is because when we figured the final numbers, we were told by the director of finance that put us up over 10 mil. And so that's why I reconsidered and why I wanted to vote it down. But we had also, just for a point of clarification, we'd also said that the four ambulances actually cost $520,000, not $500,000. So, okay, 540. Thank you.
So is that the intent of your motion, Mr. Sykes?
No, I'm going to withdraw my secondary amendment. Thank you.
Okay, the question's been called for on 260,000. Is there objection? There's objection, so put it on the board.
Mr. Mayor, the motion failed with Assemblymember Sykes and Beck in support.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move
Assemblymember Halter.
I want to move option A on the memo from Tammy Clayton to John Moosey. That's the 12 remounts. Everybody can see the numbers. It's going to be up to $578,400 per year. It would take 90 days from the time the ambulance reached the factory to complete. And basically, I'd just like a vote on that one, too, and see if people want to finance it or go to a direct.
So the exact number is 578?
578,400 is the maximum per year.
400.
Finance for 36 months with semi-annual payments.
For 12 remounts.
12 remounts. And it would take 90 days from the time an ambulance reached the factory to complete. So I imagine you could spread those out any way you wanted to.
And this is over 3 years, not five?
Finance 3 years.
Okay. Assemblymember Arvin, and then Assemblymember Mayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I support the motion, but I'm going to make an amendment. And it's to Assemblymember Doty's comment. It's not wise, I think, to manage that fleet so they all cycle out at the same time. I wasn't thinking about that before, and that's a good point. So to that point, I would offer an amendment that reads $578,400 to do four ambulances, period. And then in subsequent years, the assemblies can vote on it. And I think that's generally where everybody's lining up. I mean, I'm for doing all 12, but I don't think they should be all at the same time and cycle for maintenance at the same however many years out. So that's my amendment.
So why would the 578.4 stay the same?
For 1 year.
On the motion. Assemblymember Beck.
then it doesn't make sense to me to finance it at all, because the original amendment before us was to simply, it was less money. So so it doesn't make any sense to, what we need to do is vote this down and propose another primary amendment on the floor, I think, that goes back to the original primary amendment. And if that keeps us below 10 mil, then I'll support that.
I think that's what Assemblymember Sykes was trying to do.
Actually, I think that's what I just did. It wasn't to finance it. It was to move it as an expenditure.
But then your price was too high.
Yeah, your price was wrong. So are we ready? Do you want to withdraw that? Okay, is there any objection to withdrawing?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Okay. Point of order, actually, you had recognized me after Mr. Arvin, but Mr. Beck, then you recognized Mr. Beck. So
it's a point well taken.
So I didn't have an opportunity to speak, but the way this would work, as far as the remounts, the first few ambulances would be scheduled in to be remounted. The other ambulances would remain in service. Perhaps the director can speak more succinctly about this, but I believe that the ambulances will be scheduled to be remounted. So the replacement of the fleet won't happen, you know, on day one. It's going to be spread out over a period of time. Mr. Manager, could we have Director Gamble speak to that?
To Assemblymember Mayfield, through the mayor, that is correct. The way the remount program will work is it'll take time to ship the vehicle down to the factory, which is usually about 2 weeks. Then it takes another 90 days to actually remount the ambulance, and then another 2 weeks for the vehicle to be shipped back. So we're looking at approximately 4 months, and we'd be doing two ambulances at a time.
So within a year's period of time, we would have how many ambulances remounted?
If everything went smoothly, we would do six a year, if we had no glitches at all.
So basically over a two-year period of time, then we'd be able to replace the entire fleet? And
well, we'd be able to replace 12. Remember, we have 18,
right.
and they're aging also,
that's exactly
the other six.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayfield.
I'm sorry. I would speak in favor of the main motion.
Which is?
Would not speak in favor of the amendment. There was an. What's that? Oh, you pull it back. Oh, okay. Thank you. Then I would speak in favor of the main motion to go ahead and finance the 12 ambulances. To be remounted at a maximum cost of $578,400 a year, spread out over the 3 years. That gives us the ability to rotate the fleet. I think we'll be able to do that timely. The director's indicated that there's some ambulances, particularly, I believe, two total lost ambulances that you'll have an immediate need to be remounted. And then we'll be able to get some others through. So I'd speak in favor of the main motion.
Assemblymember Beck.
Just to reiterate, I'm going to speak against this main motion because it, you know, after all the discussion to take on the debt when we don't have to, when we can implement a process right now and pay for four ambulances that are remounted if we get another amendment, that's my intention. And then we'll still keep the mill rate down. That we don't accrue the debt.
Okay, on the main motion. It's a primary, the primary amendment. I've heard objections, so put it on the board.
Mr. Mayor, the amendment failed with Mayfield and Halter in support.
So we are back to what, Madam Clerk?
Zero.
Zero, okay.
You're back to your main motion.
We're back to the main budget, yeah. Assemblymember Mayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move an amendment to remount four ambulances at the price of $540,000 this year.
Okay, sounds like that's where most everybody was going. And that's where we started a week ago. It's the 540. It's the main motion that started this all off.
No, the main motion's at 500,000.
Was it? Okay.
I would like to move a friendly amendment to these be all District 7 ambulances, please.
No, I don't think that will work. Okay, are we disgusted enough? Okay, is there objection? Hearing none, that passes. Thank you. That's number 15. So, Madam Clerk, what's next? Do we go to the purple sheet now?
Yes, you do, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, we have amendment number, is this 16? On page 2, purple?
17.
Mr. Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to amend the general fund administration by inserting $15,000 in computer software, account number 100.115.121.426.600, to establish and maintain the borough checkbook online, and this is for purposes of transparency, which I think most everybody has agreed with, so I invite you all to do this. It will probably be outsourced, and it will be a budget line item that will recur annually. And it's not expected to cost quite 15. We hope it may be between 10 and 15, but we won't know that until next year.
So that was a number that was given by tech?
By IT.
Okay. Assemblymember Beck.
Once again, Mr. Mayor, I'd support this if it keeps us under 10 mils. So could we have a check-in, please, through the Director of Finance?
Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, currently, without the 15,000, we're at 9.982. With the 15,000, we'd be 9.984.
Okay. Further discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, we now have a checkbook. Amendment number 18. And Mr. Mayfield.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to amend the Port Enterprise Fund, other contractual, 520-100-112-429-900, increasing the line item by $160,000 for the new proposed total of $241,000. And increasing transfer from area-wide fund 520-000-367110 by increasing the line item by $160,000 for the new proposed total of $860,000. Additionally, amend the area-wide fund transfer to Port Enterprise Fund 100-000-000-445-300. By increasing the line item from $160,000 to $860,000, and decreasing the transfer to capital projects $100,000-$446,400 by $160,000 to $4,303,160. The specific reduction is to the capital improvement project DSJ, phase two rooftop RTU connections, fireproofing, and backup generator. That is a very long way of saying, let's go ahead and transfer $160,000 into the Port Enterprise Fund from the DSJ phase two rooftop project.
Okay. You want to speak to it?
Yes. Having had several discussions with the port director as well as some of the board members there, it does appear that the port is very short of having any money for maintenance projects. So this is a way of addressing that. They do have some, I believe it's a riprap that is splitting apart, and they have an immediate need to take care of that, as well as some other normal annual maintenance that they don't have funding for.
Assemblymember Beck and then Assemblymember Arvin.
Thank you. Through the mayor, I think to the manager probably, how important are the capital projects for the DSJ building phase two?
Those are very important. When we did the addition to this facility, it was with the understanding we were going to pick apart this older section and redo it. This really allows us to move forward on a fire code, and we have some units that need to be attached. We do have a plan. What we have done is in the past we've bid this out, and we have an ad alternate that is being that the price is good for till the end of September. So if you move forward on this and we do need additional funds, you know, based upon your vice fee schedule, I will come back at a later time and make an amended budget, if needed, request to you. So you can move forward on this, and I still believe we can make the necessary repairs with a future budget amendment on revenues that was created through the fee schedule.
Go ahead.
So then the follow-up to the manager would be, or maybe, so is there another way to accomplish this without making those changes, taking them away from the project here?
I think by doing this, since it's here, it's cleaner to move ahead on this as is. Like I said, I will, you know, if necessary, I will come back and request additional funding with revenues, I think, that were earned. So if your intention is to move forward on this, by using this capital funds, this might be the easiest way tonight to handle that.
Mr. Arvin.
To follow up on Mr. Mayfield's comments, excuse me, additionally, we recently changed the cathodic protection system from to an impressed system, which has an electrical bill associated with it. And that's really the genesis. Rather than sacrificial anodes on the dock now, there's current that has to be purchased every year. And so this helps to remedy that as well. So I speak in support of it.
Assemblymember Beck.
So my point would be is, why couldn't, if we can take money from the general fund to help do the DSJ Phase 2 repairs, when we already have that in motion and are doing that, why couldn't we do the similar thing for the port?
Mr. Moosey.
Well, good.
Yes, can you please restate that?
Yeah. I don't understand that this amendment is even necessary, because if we can take funds like you suggested to do the DSJ Phase 2 Phase 2 improvements that are needed, I mean, why would we even do this amendment and take money from that? Because you said that we can find money for the DSJ improvement somewhere else. Can't we find money for the port somewhere else?
I just did.
Well,
I... No, we're paying it for something else.
Yeah. The total, let me kind of go back. The total, we think, to redo the entire old facility is $2 million. And that was the original request that came into me to wrap this up. When I presented a budget, I tried to keep the our expense as low as possible and our mill rate as close to what we had coming into this budget. We have a $1 million for that additional work. At this point in time, I don't believe it is necessary for a full $1 million being needed for the connections and the fireproofing. If perchance we need additional dollars, I believe tonight you've created revenue that I can come back for and do budget amendments. And we do budget amendments. We do that consistently, and you approve those, and are usually not that big of a deal. I do not know at this point in time we need that full $1 million to accomplish what we need to accomplish.
Mr. Holt.
Yes, the history that we put $7.2 million into this facility. That was phase one. And of course, obviously it's built now. Then the follow-up was going to be what we're talking about right here. So there's $1 million there now. If this was cut, it'd be $690,000 more. You could add more to that next year to accomplish the goal or find monies, as we were just talking about. The port right now with that, what their needs is pretty direct. It's pretty immediate. And this kind of solves that dilemma. So that's...
Okay. Is there any objection to this, Assemblymember Sykes?
No. I've been trying to get your attention because I'm on page 7 of the Port Enterprise Fund. The electricity for the cathodic protection is already taken into account. Last year's budget had $100,000 for electricity. This year it's got $165,000, and so. While I'm sure that the port needs plenty of money, everything needs money, which is the greater need? And I already see that this budget item is already covered in the amount that is already proposed without the amendment. And so unless I fully understand what the money is going to go for, I'm going to oppose this amendment. Line item is the first one, 40 on page 7 of the Enterprise Fund. This is under utilities and building operations.
Assemblymember Arvin wanted to speak to that.
What happened? What happened, as I understand, I'm trying to find the number, is monies were moved out of the other contractual to put in the budget towards the electrons. So it depleted the other contractual based on historical numbers. And by adding money in for the 160 in other contractual, what you could do is you could take the 160, put it to electricity, and then take the 160 that was moved and put it back into other contractual. This is just kind of a seamless way to do that. It's replenishing money that wasn't anticipated and had to be pulled from a different section of the budget. I can't find that right at the top of my head here.
Assemblymember Mayfield.
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in on one thing. This is just a money transfer, so it's tax neutral. So it really didn't have any impact on our mill rate.
Point of information, Mr. So... what you're saying, Assemblymember Mayfield, is that the $84,300 under other contractual is going somewhere. In other words, there's electricity, which is an increase of $65,500 from last year, and other contractual is actually a reduction of $1,000 from last year. And so I guess I'm not understanding the seamless transaction. The amounts are different, and I'm not sure where the money is taken from and going to.
Through the mayor.
Mr.
The,
Mayfield.
Page here, 7.
You yield?
I found my...
Okay, Assemblymember Arvin.
Yeah, so if you look at capital projects, it went 14 to 15 to 16. It went from 100 to 0 to 0 on page 5. And I didn't build this budget. I don't know if it's appropriate to ask the port director to come and speak to his budget, but the bottom line is, as I understand, that department had to pull money out of other budgeted items to pay for the electrons, which diminished his maneuverability. So that's what the ask is. And to Mr. Mayfield's point, I think what the point he was getting at was it's coming from a project that's already in the budget, so it's not asking for new money. It's shifting money from the re-roof project to the port project, not adding net dollars to the budget.
Assemblymember Sykes.
Okay, so that clarifies that we're talking different projects. We're not just moving money from within the port enterprise fund. We're taking it from the roofing project. And so the manager has said that he thinks we can do this amendment if we need it. So we estimated originally that the remodel of the building, which cannot apparently be used due to the code violations that we ran into, is going to cost them another $1 million than was originally estimated. So why do you think that we can take money from this project, which nobody can use until it's done, that is better spent on the port, I guess is my question.
I think the manager has addressed that twice already. He hasn't promised that he won't need it, but when the time comes, he'll be back.
I didn't hear him make a priority. I'm asking for a priority.
He was agreeable to this. Mr. Manager, is that right?
As you can see, this is our budget challenge. We have planned activity here at the building, and we have a pretty sizable maintenance issue at the port. This really kind of all started when we got the $3 million grant to put electrification to protect the port, keep it from rusting. With that came $160,000 increase on electric costs. My direction to all my directors was come in about as close to $0 in your budget that I could present to you, which meant that he had to take that additional cost and somehow eat it. And that really does not work in a small budget. So we're really trying to do everything that we need to do with a limited amount of money. And like I said, I don't think I need the whole $1 million at this point in time to do the basic work that we need. If I am wrong with that, we do have with this increased fees that is not we do not
budget that just passed is in the budget
based upon your percentage of the mill rate. I missed that, Tammy.
We've
just passed it into the budget.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, and you figured that into
and,
the
and that lowered the mill rate.
Okay. So, but anyways, I still do not think we need the full $1 million for this project. But we need both.
Assemblymember Mayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The taxpayers of the Matanuska-Susitna borough deserve to have a return on their investment for the investment that we put into the port. The harsh reality is that it isn't returning anything on our investment right now. But we're in tough budget times, and if we are going to have a return on our investment, we need to at least maintain the facility so that at the point in time in the future when either the LNG projects happen or the railroad happens, we need to be prepared with a facility that's going to be able to operate and generate funds. So I think it's extremely important that we at least maintain the facilities, and we need the money to do that. And that's the purpose of bringing the amendment.
Okay, we have not accomplished very much here in the last 15 minutes. Mr. Arvin.
Well, I don't like getting history lessons, but I'm going to give one out. When we passed the budget to fund this addition, there was going to be space vacated in the older part of the building. And part of that discussion, you can go back and look at the record, was that over the course of the next many years, there was going to be upgrades as funding would allow to refurbish the prior space so it's more comfortable, so the exchange systems and it's balanced and air conditioning and heat and all those things. $2 million, as I understand, refurbishes that. $2 million doesn't relate specifically to the fire code issues that seem to be driving why all that money needs to be reserved because we have an alleged fire code potential problem. If it's the ducting, then go fix the ducting. The roofing's not going to be a fire code issue. So there's still going to be nearly 1.3 quarters of $1 million to put towards the renovations. It's not a big ask. And when the rail comes, or the LNG comes, or some other industrial activity that we all have been working on for a long time to get to the port so it's a revenue generator, we don't want our flipping dock in such disrepair that we can't tie a ship up there. It's got to be tended to. It's very important.
Further discussion? Is there objection? Thank you. Amendment 18 passes. And that brings us to Amendment 19. Which one of you want to make the motion? Mr. Halter.
I'll make it. It's a joint motion from Mr. Arvin and myself. Capital Projects tab O, page 2. I move to amend Capital Projects DSJ Phase 2 rooftop, same project we've been just talking about, but reducing it by $150,000 and moving $150,000 to tab O, page 1, grants pass-through for the Alaska Scholastic Clay Target Program for the purchase of non-borough land to use for their program. And I'd like to speak to that, and Mr. Arvin may very well want to, too.
You may.
This is, we've had two different proposals from the same group, Alaska Scholastic City Target Program. Their first proposal was to buy 80 acres in the Big Lake area. It caused quite a controversy among the local Big Lake Community Council and residents that are close by. It was voted down. The new proposal that's out, I believe our Land Management Division, Community Development, has put out notices to the public. It's a piece of land. I don't know exactly the legal description or the exact location, but it's up near Church and Selden Extension, 80 acres, less than fair market value, 10%. The total value, I believe, that the borough would be giving up would be in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, and the Scholastic program would be allowed to buy it at 10% of the fair market value. I took Ron Arvin out and showed him an 80 acres, I believe, would fit the bill for this program almost perfectly. We're not putting it as part of the amendment. It's an 80 acres. It's privately owned. It's for sale. Terry Boyle, a real estate marketer, showed it to Ron and I. We walked it. It has a runway in it. It's beautiful. It has no surrounding residential areas. And the current proposal we have for less than fair market value has three residential areas close, so we're starting to get a lot of concern about that. So this 80 acres we looked at, you'd be 5 miles past the Big Lake Junction, all the way to this 80 acres down Miller's Reach Road, and then you enter the 80 acres. And to me, it's an almost ideal situation for this type of program. If they're going to do a trap and skeet, in a program like that. I think we would do the public a big favor by reducing the amount of concern from the residential areas. And that's been the concern for the last two proposals, including the one that's up before us right now. And I would move to rescind that proposal if this passes. I realize it's $150,000 in a budget. It's considerably tight, but you'll be giving up so much money in this 80 acres. And this 80 acres, I believe, is far more value if we would subdivide it, the borough would subdivide it, reserve out school site or fire site, plus subdivide the 80 where it is now, we'd be miles ahead. And if Mr. Arvin, I see Ms. Doty has her hand up, if Mr. Arvin wants to comment too. But I think this would be, and I would encourage the organization, and I encourage Mr. Arvin to seek this 80 acres we've been speaking on, we looked at, because I believe it's would resolve their problems and get rid of the friction between the neighboring units and things like that.
Assemblymember Beck and then Assemblymember Doty.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm in favor of finding a private piece of property for the organization to purchase to use its or to conduct its activities. Just for a point of clarification, since Assemblymember Halter spoke to it, through the mayor, could you please tell us what the price of the private piece of property that you found is, the total price?
Well, it's the borough assessed appraised value. I'll read it to you. 2015, $159,300, and they have a building assessed at $15,300. And the building, believe me, I wouldn't pay them. They'd owe me money for the building. But so that's the assessed borough. Now they're asking more money than that. They're asking over $200,000 to purchase this building. The owners, I understand, live in Florida, and they do want to market it. They do want to sell it. It has a lot of cleared area. It's got a runway that you can see. You can walk down. It's groomed. It's approved by the FAA. You would be basically shooting, if I got my directions correct, you'd be shooting south over a swampy area where the sound would go. There are some cabins and things back a half a mile or a quarter of a mile away through the woods. And so I don't know what they could purchase it for, but it'd probably be in that borough appraisal up to $200,000, $220,000, whatever they could negotiate. So they're going to have to put some skin in the game too. They'll have to finance it with the owner or finance it through a bank. And the borough portion would just get them away from using buying our land at 10% fair market value. Because I firmly believe that piece of property we're talking about over there, if it is subdivided by the borough and you reserved out a school site and you reserved out a fire hall site and then you made it residential and we subdivided ourselves, we'd be way far ahead in this project.
Assemblymember, who's next? Assemblymember Doty.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through the mayor, to Assemblymember Halter, I'm obviously behind the eight ball on this project, and I have several questions, of which I don't want to take up the time of our meeting tonight. Specifically, I have some issues about private enterprise competition and borough subsidizing in this particular industry that I can't answer tonight. So I'm going to speak against this until we have more information. I don't understand this piece of property, and I don't think that this is the timing to present a piece of property that we don't have any background information for.
This motion is not tied to that piece of property.
It's not tied to that piece of property because I don't think we could tie it to that piece of property this early in the stage. I mean, it would give them the financial resources to pursue this piece of property or another, but particularly this piece of property would be what I'd recommend.
Ms. Doty?
I just would ask that we speak specifically to the issue and not to other factors given the time and the debate.
What is the issue that I could try to answer?
I believe there's other opportunities for private competition to provide this service, and I don't have the background information at this time to answer that question.
Could Mr. Spropoulos, the way this is worded, would they have to spend it on land? Aren't we just giving away money?
We could, the way this is worded right now, it would be just be giving them money. If you want to restrict the grant to the purchase of facilities or land, you can certainly put that in there.
In Alaska?
I'll amend it to Alaska.
It sounds like it's not supposed to be in the borough.
Let me read it again. I move to amend capital projects, CSA, phase two, fireproofing by reducing that by $150,000, moving that $150,000 to tab old page one, grant pass two for the Alaska Scholastic Clay Target Program for the purchase of non-borough land.
Yeah, your mic's off. Okay, Assemblymember Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I appreciate what Assemblymember Halter is trying to do here, but I have some questions that I also need answered, and I don't think we're going to answer them here tonight. One is, we already have a pending application to sell land at less than fair market value, and there has been no communication that I'm aware of from the applicant that they are withdrawing that, nor have I seen any communication that the applicant would rather do this than that. I have asked several times to know what their operating expenses are, because I believe that they have been, you know, using private facilities, and those private facilities are still available. My understanding is that the Land Management Department is supposed to make money by selling and leasing land. And if we are considering making money, and now we're going to, without any public hearing or without adequate information, suggest that we have a better solution, I think we should simply deal with that down the road and not make it a budget issue at all. And so we really don't have, in my view, any information that would really support a public policy decision in our budget tonight that I could support, and I'm going to speak against the amendment.
Assemblymember Mayfield and then Assemblymember Doty.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, I'd like to speak in favor of the amendment. The Scholastic Clay Target Program, They come to us once. The location of Big Lake, that wasn't the perfect location. The current proposal that's coming up on June 16th is for 80 acres of land at Church and Selden, worth somewhere between, I believe, $770,000 and $1 million. So if we sell that land at 10% of value, we're basically talking $77,000 income, and we're giving away, you know, almost $500,000 or more. I'm kind of looking at this as a compromise. We recognize the value of the program, but I cannot, in good conscience, give away land that's worth anywhere from $700,000 to $1 million. I mean, I just can't do that. So,
yeah, there's been a point of order called. Speak okay. to the money.
Okay. So the giving $150,000 specifically for the purchase of land from a non-borough source, non-governmental source, I think is a good compromise. So I'd speak in favor.
Okay, we've got Assemblymember Beck and then Assemblymember Doty.
Thank you. I want to support this, but I can't support it as it's worded, because I think Alaska Scholastic Clay Target Program is a statewide program, and there's no guarantee that if we give this money to them that they're going to use it to buy property in the Matsu Borough. They could, and run it out here. They could take it, and they could buy property in Anchorage, or they could go over to Eagle River or Chugiak. So I'm going to ask the maker of the motion, or we need to consider an amendment to this to make sure that the intention of it is to stay within the borough for the chapter of the program that we've already been dealing with. Is that a fair assumption? I mean, I think Deputy Mayor Arvin could probably speak to this because I think he's more familiar with this than I am.
Mr. Arvin. Yeah, so that's a good point, and it'd be very easy to add an amendment to the language, the authorizing language, to do just that. Surely it's clearly their intention. And I know Ms. Doty had some comments. I was going to kind of wait until I sensed the ending moment to weigh in on this, and I would yield to Member Doty if she had something else, or I'll just proceed.
Oh, that's the hand I saw down there, Mr. Culligan.
So we've had this discussion at the table. We'll politely call it engaging. And what I see this is an opportunity to move forward. But I would also like to leave that opportunity, because we're trying to put this into the budget while also providing some flexibility moving through this next year. So we have a time and moment with the expectation of something working out in the near future. I would also like to add language to that, that if there's borough properties agreed upon, then they can use those funds to return to the borough for a piece of property in case something doesn't work out. Or if there's another compromise that they work out with private property or a contract with a private vendor, that they have as an entity that flexibility but could also return that to the borough if that was the best cause. But for tonight, I'd like to speak in favor of this and leave options, not just say it's not on borough land. There might be an opportunity if it works out, there's another piece of borough land or state land that they can use that money to negotiate a solution. But at the moment, our mission, I think collectively, is to move forward and provide an opportunity. And if there's somebody else that can work with them to create the same thing, then we can move ahead with that as well.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So through the process, there have been a number of, given the first approach, which was to not different than other land disposals that the borough has done to certain organizations, all the borough lands were looked at, literally every piece, and it was narrowed down to a list of about a half a dozen. And what we thought was the no-brainer was actually a problem, the first one. The second one, the youth club was more proactive in engaging the surrounding community and being a little bit more aggressive in outreach, which it probably didn't do a noble job of on the first piece of property, and got really no objection. But now that the mailer went out, there are people in the area that they didn't reach out to, and it's brought with it some issues. Fast forward to where we are today. We can add language that requires them, it's in a grant, so there's requirements, very robust requirements that can be put in the grant that they have to meet, and if they don't meet them, they don't get the funds. And putting it, requiring it to be within the Mat-Su borough fits right with their plan. This started as a Mat-Su borough youth shooting club. It evolved into the high schools. The school board embraced it. It's in four high schools in the valley now. Subsequent to that, 2 years ago, it's now in high schools from Ketchikan to Wrangell to Craig to Juneau to Homer, Soldotna, Talkeetna, Upper Sioux, Fairbanks. And when they had their last statewide shoot, there were some 230 people that came to the borough in support of their youth shooters, not dissimilar to wrestling or basketball or any other sport that is nearly 100% subsidized by public money for maintenance of soccer fields and wrestling mats and basketball courts and swimming pools and ice rinks, and the list is long. What this club is asking for is a piece of dirt. And this is an avenue for them to get a piece of dirt so they can go out and develop it. They already own all the Tate clay target launching machines, and they're prepared to move forward on it. So
would you make an amendment to improve the language, Mr. Beck?
Yeah, I have a secondary amendment, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to propose, and I'd like it to read like this. At the very end of what's printed, so we'll go, for Alaska Scholastic Clay Target Program, for the sole use of the purchase of non-borough land within the Matsu Borough.
Assemblymember Culligan.
So I guess as to before, I would prefer that we didn't say non-borough land, that we said land in the Matsu Borough, so that there's at least some flexibility going forward if things change or there's another opportunity. I know it's, we've been down the road, but I don't know what
to amend it. If I could speak to that, Mr. Mayor, I think we could amend that later if we had to.
So we would then be giving somebody money to buy borough land at less than fair market value?
Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Doty.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So the comparison to ice rinks or soccer fields, the ownership remains with borough in those situations. So I'm trying to understand why we would be... don't get me wrong, I support youth shooting. I think it's a really important program. I don't understand the give money to a private entity or... I need to understand the nature of this entity. Is it a nonprofit? Is it a private entity? And we're giving it to it as a grant, essentially, to promote the development of that program. Is that correct?
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Arvin.
It is a 501c3, and the difference is once they get the piece of dirt, they're going to solely and exclusively, although they do get annual funding at certain levels from NRA and Rough Grouse Society and other organizations that support youth, hunter ed, safety, those kinds of things that happen in a club like this. The thing that is kind of the big differentiator for me is this will be a one-time piece of dirt, really, and there's no continuing maintenance or involvement by public money in the future. That was the point I was trying to make.
Member Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And what I like about this is this is a much better solution as well, rather than putting a shooting range right next to a school. I think this is, and it benefits, it's a direct benefit to our students in the Matsu Borough. This is really, in my opinion, it's for them and those programs.
Assemblymember Doty.
Just one other point, please. Clarification that other places around the state have a similar type of approach where the property is owned by a nonprofit.
Mr. Arvin?
I can speak to, so there's three ranges that I'm aware of organized. Rabbit Creek, which is run by DNR, owned by the state, managed by Fish and Wildlife, I think. There's Birchwood, that's owned by and ran and personnel hired and worked for the municipality of Anchorage. And then there's a private club out here in the valley. Around the state, I can't speak to the other facilities and how they're managed.
Assemblymember Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do appreciate the intent of the amendment moved by Mr. Beck. But I sense a little inconsistency here. We got a request for a grant from SART. We got a request for a grant from Youth Court. We got a request for a grant from the libraries. We did not get a request for this grant. And I think that If we approve this, I think we're very shortly going to get requests from the Curling Club and any other equally valuable program, whether it's an Olympic sport or whatever, for us to give them money. And originally, we were considering, we still are, it's an application. This application is not withdrawn, and we don't vote on it for some time. And so even though I appreciate the intent of where you're going with this, Assemblymember Beck, I'm going to speak against the amendment and against the motion, because I think we have strayed from the main point here. We don't have a request, and we are going to open the door to anybody else that wants to make this kind of request.
Assemblymember Halter.
Well, this same club has made the request twice now. They're requesting 10% valued land from the borough. So this, if this passes, it's my intent to move to dissolve that request or to rescind that request for the borough land at Church and sell it, quite honestly. And because that, take that off the table, because the complaints are going to become from the residential, are coming from the residential area right there. So this is designed to offset that, and that would be kind of a moot issue because that's going to be taken off the board. The numbers are going to add up hugely in favor of the borough and the borough residents. You're giving up, you keep that on the table, you're giving up $600,000-$700,000 right off the top of the table, as opposed to $150,000 here. Now, I believe this is an Olympic sport, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, this is not just some, you know, we should encourage that, I think. And they have taken the time to get into the schools and things like that. The problem's always been location, location, location. This is, you know, I'd like to stipulate the piece of property, but I think it's, we just looked at it yesterday, and I think they should have a chance to look at it. It would be my intent, and I think Mr. Arvin's intent, to go out and look at this Houston land very carefully, because it is almost ideal for access to get there. It would be pretty, not obtrusive at all for residents locally. I think 30 years from now, if you look at that purchase, that piece of property by that club, and what they could do with the runway, and all the, and things go up around them, even they'll be grandfathered in. It's a pretty exciting program.
I'd like to call for the question, please.
Is there objection to closing debate? Hearing none. I've heard objection, so put it on the board for the amendment only.
The secondary
amendment is for Alaska. Yeah, go ahead.
The secondary amendment is to insert after the word program to strike what Assemblymember Halter had read for the purchase of non-borough owned land, to strike that and insert at the end of the sentence after program for the sole use of the purchase of non-borough owned land that is specifically within the Matsu Borough.
Okay. Put it on the board.
Assemblymember Doty, you can't abstain.
Nice try.
Let's revote.
Revote.
Mr. Mayor, the motion passed with Assemblymember Sykes opposed.
On the main motion.
Mr. Mayor, Mr. on Sykes. The procedure. We have heard that if this passes, that we would like to delete the application. However, we are considering the budget tonight, and the application would be done at another time. And so I don't see that there's going to be any public process for this, since the audience has already spoken tonight, and this amendment had not been presented. So with no public process and a pending application, I speak against the main motion.
Okay. Further debate? Hearing? Okay. Put it on the board for the main motion as amended.
Mr. Mayor, the motion passed with Assemblymember Sykes opposed.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Halter.
If this could be untimely, if you want me to do it in comments, I'll do it then. But I wanted to move to withdraw or dissolve the current proposal for sale land below the fair market value by.
Yeah.
Do that later.
That's. Yeah, it's not on the agenda. It's totally inappropriate right now.
Darn.
So, Madam Clerk, where does that take us?
Mr. Mayor, that takes you to Amendment Number 12 that was postponed. That was to add a Section Number 10, notwithstanding the 75% provisions of MSB 3.04110C and provisions of Ordinance Serial Number 14-014. The school district may carry over 100% of their unassigned fund balance for fiscal year 2015, ending June 30, 2015, not exceeding the amount allowed by AS 14.17.505. All other provisions of MSB 3.04110C will remain in effect.
Okay. On the motion, Mr. Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You heard the numbers you were looking for tonight from Mr. Stone and Mr. Fulp. And I think that this is, I know that everything is tough. If we changed this at all and amended it to a smaller percentage, that money would be taken and put it into our existing account or fund to build for future schools or access to schools. That currently has $2.8 million in it. We don't have a plan to beyond what we've already got on paper to build any new schools in the immediate future. Our school district cooperates with us. We work hand in hand. They wouldn't ask if there wasn't a need. I agree that for the financial health of our school district, we need to do this year, as I've read into the record already with this amendment.
Discussion. Assemblymember Arvin.
I'd speak in support of this and call the question.
Is there objection to closing debate? I hear none. So is there objection to the motion on the fund balance, school district? Hearing none, passes. Assemblymember Sykes and then Assemblymember Mayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to propose amendment number...
That was supposed to be the last amendment, but no way it's
set. Well, I was told we could make amendments from the floor, and I checked this out and was ready to have it written, but I didn't have the information until the meeting, so I intend to move another amendment.
Go ahead.
Mr. Mayor,
Assemblymember Arvin.
Can we ask the finance director where the mill levy is now? Because we're.
Why don't we ask her after I make my motion?
Ms. Clayton?
Yes.
We're still at 99999.
Just about. We're at 9.984.
Okay. Mr. Sykes?
Well, this amendment actually doesn't cause an increase in the mill rate. So my amendment is I move to increase the temporary wages now being used for a part-time position for solid waste management of community cleanup to change that from a 1,000-hour position to a full-time position and have the remaining funds that are needed to fund that to come from Fund 510. And I believe that Finance Director Clayton may have some additional details on that.
Okay, tell us about Fund 510.
Yes. They're kind of incomplete.
No, there's no handout. This is out of the blue. Is that over time? Okay. Yeah, we're waiting.
Oh, I'm apologizing. Fund 510 is the Solid Waste Enterprise Fund.
Okay. So this will make it further in debt?
This will add to the total expenditures in that fund.
Mr. Mayor, I don't have that amendment captured.
Okay. So let's let the clerk get that worked.
don't have the funding. I don't have the words that he wrote down. I couldn't write that fast, so I need to have what that amendment is, what he said.
Okay, I'll try it again. I move to amend the current temporary position for community cleanup, which is 1,000 hours, to be used for a full-time position, and the remaining funds over and above what is currently funded in that position be moved from Fund 510, which, because it is in the Enterprise Fund, will not the amendment ends at 510. But speaking to the amendment, it will not increase the mill rate.
Have you got that written?
Sort of. I mean, it's...
I have moved to amend the temporary position for community cleanup. I'm writing as fast as I can. Sorry.
Okay. To become a full-time position.
Okay.
For community cleanup. And use the... And to acquire the remaining funds to make it a full-time position over and above what is already funded to be taken from Fund 510.
To fund a full-time position for
community
cleanup and recycling coordinator. And if Mr. Dolan wants to speak to it, but basically the more that we can recycle and get stuff out of the waste stream, the longer our cells will last, and it saves a considerable amount of money in the long range. But if Mr. Dolan would like to add anything, I'd be happy to hear from him.
You happy, Madam Clerk?
What he might be trying to say is that he wants this to be a full-time position, and he wants to get the funds to make that a full-time position. Or is this a secondary position?
Well, he's changing it from a temporary.
These are the current temporary wages on the part-time position.
Mm-hmm. And then to acquire the remaining funds for the full-time position.
Right. So it's going to add a full-time position, but it will delete...
add a full-time position, okay, right. Instead of four.
It would delete the part-time position.
Okay.
And to get the additional funds from Fund 510.
So you want two positions or one? Just for my own clarification.
One.
Okay, that's what I thought.
And we're this would be in place of
the
part-time.
Yes, the way you were saying that before, I misunderstood and thought it was two positions because you said, but I'm clear now.
Okay, Assemblymember Mayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a question, really. Maybe a couple of questions. So it's a full-time employee. Does that involve PERS? And will it impact our budget reserve, thus raising the mill rate? Whoever's qualified.
Yeah. Madam Clayton.
Yes. In the area-wide fund, $42,019 was budgeted for temp, and in the non-area-wide fund, $21,010 was budgeted for temp for that position. So that money will move from temp wages to permanent wages and benefits. It leaves a difference of $36,872 that would be funded out of the Solid Waste Enterprise Fund. And yes, that position would be eligible for PERS.
Would it be a new class?
It very likely would be. I don't believe we have another position titled that.
Right.
And so would we also have to put money into the budget reserve?
No. With the amendment I believe Mr. Halter made last week, the budget reserve is a flat $25 million.
Assemblymember Arvin.
so I don't get yelled at, I'll bring the mic over. So when, so I'm a little puzzled by this amendment in that the Valley Center for Recycling Solutions is heavily subsidized by the borough, and when that all rolled out in the beginning, it was going to be an organization outside the borough that would ultimately find itself self-sustaining. And I've seen the numbers come down over the years. They're asking for and receiving less and less. So I think they're tracking in the long term. But I have never heard a conversation about the borough having a recycling coordinator to coordinate with them. I guess just help me a little bit, please.
Well, I would like to have Director Dolan speak to it, but basically we're not talking about VCRS, but it would make both the landfill and VCRS more profitable. Then I'd ask to hear from Director Dolan.
Mr. Dolan, do you want to speak to that?
Terry Dolan, Director of Public Works. Through the mayor, Mr. Arvin is correct that VCRS does provide essentially a single point of recycling at or near the central landfill. And that capability is important in the core area, but provides little service to the surrounding areas, especially in the areas where we have transfer sites. And tonight, we adjusted the rates at the transfer sites to receive recycling down to zero. So, and we have a program that we're starting in coordination with the community councils to provide recycling containers at our transfer sites and then free hauling of that back to VCRS. So all of this stuff is coming together to create a much broader recycling program that is borough-wide and centered around our transfer sites and VCRS. So a much wider web. And what this full-time position is going to do is, number one, it's going to increase the man hours available for community cleanup, which were insufficient under the previous funding. And number two, we'll provide a coordinator to coordinate that recycling effort among all of our transfer sites. So we put in together essentially a project that encompasses borough-wide recycling at little or no cost to the residents out there, being paid for by the Solid Waste Enterprise Fund receipts at the main gate at the landfill that you raised tonight.
So if I could follow up.
Yeah.
So the actual activity or the role that individual will perform is to go to the community councils and to the outer transfer stations and make what better than it is now?
Essentially, we'll be assisting the community councils in setting up recycling programs in their communities with containers centered at the transfer sites to receive those recyclable materials at no cost to the communities. That's going to take some work from the communities. Obviously, the receipt of that stuff has to be managed. It has to be sorted. VCRS has to have sorted materials. So there's a lot of volunteer work that will have to be done. There will be standards that will have to be put in place. We're providing the containers, and the communities are providing the upgrade of those containers at a cost of between $8,000 and $10,000 per container to get these programs kicked off. And this individual, as part of their duties, in addition to doing community cleanup work, will be coordinating with those community councils and assisting them in implementing the standards out in the transfer sites.
Assemblymember Culligan, then Assemblymember Halter.
So I'm going to speak against this. Not that I'm against recycling or anything, but we've been through the budget process. Tonight we added significant money back into Solid Waste Services. And I would ask that the director and the manager revisit their budget, and if this is a priority, take a look at the additional fees and restructure and next year's budget if there's a need to come back to us. But I just see that this program, we've had plenty of volunteers. There's plenty of volunteers in the community interested and involved in recycling. Mr. Arvin pointed out Valley Community Recycling. We support. We also, they get grants through our other matching grants and the like that we participate in. And I think at this point, I would just prefer that the manager and staff, with the changes in the fees and the other stuff, the solid waste services, that they readjust and look at this next year and come back next year if there's a problem. But I don't see a direct need tonight. Thanks.
Thank you. Assemblymember Halter.
I think I'm going to speak in favor of this evening with all due respect to you, Mr. Culligan. On I think Talkeetna raised $25,000 themselves to get their container revamped and to build it up. I think Waco, $10,000 or $12,000 they contributed to revamp their. I think Big Lake at least that amount or more. So now we've corrected that fee going in tonight, and if this position would help coordinate this and jumpstart that recycling, I think I'd be all for it. And it seems like it's kind of at that stage where it needs a little bump. And it's a pretty reasonable, I guess, what is it, $34,000, $36,000? And I think the fees will cover that. I think it's a pretty reasonable request, so I'm going to support it and see if we can get recycling moving faster.
We ready for the question? So, yes. It's the wrong question, but go ahead.
I support this too, and I'm going to support it. But recycling happens in a community under one of two models that I know. It's by mandate by the government, by regulation, or by charging such an exorbitant fee, people are forced to separate their materials. Do you see any kind of matrix? I mean, what's the output that you expect from this position? And would you be willing to entertain a motion that, based on certain milestones that are accomplished for the next year, that the position would continue to be funded? Because it would be disappointing to have a bunch of placards hung up in the community, you know, that we all support recycling, but it doesn't really happen.
Mr. Sykes.
I'm not the solid waste manager. I don't know what milestones to put in, but I would guess that you ought to give it a few years anyway if you want to find out what it's going to do, because right at the present time, I think we have 11 roll-offs that could be used for this effort, and only one of them has been refurbished, so it's not like it's going to take time. I mean, it's not going to happen at once, but as was pointed out by Assemblymember Halter, the communities maybe need to consider a third model. The communities are doing this on their own, and I think this is a way to have a twofer. We help out the communities, and we extend the life of our cells in the landfill. And the estimate has been that we take in millions of tons of trash, and the airspace that we save is valuable.
Did you give any thought to taking this out of the grant to VCRS? Because to a large degree, his efforts are going to be to their profit.
I did consider that, I think that with the new baler they got at VCRS, this will facilitate the efficiency that baler provides. So again, it's a mutual benefit to the landfill and to VCRS that will hopefully be less dependent on borough funds in the future.
Okay, we're ready for the question. Okay, there is objection, so put it on the board for a new position, and it is a new class too. Yes. Mr. Manager, well, that was Tammy's opinion.
I don't think that's a definite yes. We will try to make it look, feel, and act for PERS like something else if it's approved. I don't know if we can accomplish it, but that will be our goal. Like I said before, I think we had like 582 different classes of assistance, and we got that down to four. And I'm exaggerating, there's only like 48 to get down to four. So we will try to do the same thing because of this PERS liability. Can't promise, but that's my intention to work on that.
It does seem pretty unique to what we're doing now.
We are pretty creative.
Okay. Okay, sorry. We should start over on the vote.
Mr. Mayor, I'll reset it now.
Okay. What? Yeah, you're voting.
Mr. Mayor, the motion passed with Assemblymember Culligan opposed.
Okay. So, any more surprises? Assemblymember Mayfield?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do have one final amendment.
Do you have it written out?
What's that?
Do you have it written out?
I do.
Good.
In my chicken scratch, but I can give this to the clerk. I move to amend Capital Projects DSJ Phase 2, again, going back to the same fund, reducing it by $25,000 and moving that $25,000 to Tab O, Page 1, Grant Pass-Through, for the Big Lake Lions Community Center. And I'll deliver that, and then I'd like to speak to it.
Yeah, the manager's picking himself up off the floor here. So speak to it.
And actually, some of my notes went that way, too. We talked about the fee schedule earlier this evening. Some concern about subsidizing, the borough subsidizing the ice rink and versus private enterprise and their endeavors. Big Lake Lions Community Center is a building built from grants by a nonprofit organization, who is really dedicated to kids. And they have built meeting facilities as well as ice rink, as well as an ice rink facility and turf facility inside the building. They service an entire regional area, which is outside of the core. And, we all know that we subsidize the Brett. We subsidize the sports center via, taxes when we are in Wasilla. But nobody has given any money to the Lions. I think it's appropriate for us to give them a grant pass-through this one time. I'm not suggesting that this should be an endeavor that we should continue into the future. But this organization does provide free skating education, meeting facilities for the regional area, and they serve a great function within the community. So I'll leave it at that.
Assemblymember Culligan.
I'd like to speak in favor of, just because earlier we had a discussion about the rates and other stuff, and over several years they'll need to be adjusted to market rates. But I think this, at least this year, provides a little bit of parity until our local rates and Wasilla and others come up to actual market rates. This helps balance that out a little bit, and let's see where it goes.
Assemblymember Arvin.
So I'll support the 25 grand, but as I know, we gave them a grant last year for $200,000 for insulation. Yeah, and I might be wrong on the number. Maybe somebody else.
$100,000.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Are we ready for the question?
Well, I'd like to support this also, but I'd like to remind the assembly members when I'm gone that this is a one-time grant.
You know, they all started that way.
This one is every
single one.
Now, Mayor, be nice.
Oh. Assemblymember Doty.
Just for the record, clarification of the ownership of this building.
It belongs to the Lions.
So again, a nonprofit but private corporation.
I'm going to speak against it because it's just taking more money away from a project in my district.
Okay, so I've heard objections, so put it on the board.
Mr. Mayor, the motion passed with Assemblymember Beck opposed.
Tell the Lions they need to move to Palmer. Actually, they are here. So you need another motion to give some to Palmer. I'm joking.
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Arvin.
Yeah, can we get the final number so we can plug it in here? And
yeah, we're waiting.
Move this budget.
Ms. Clayton, give us the final number so we can move it.
Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, the area-wide mill rate would be 9.984, and non-area-wide would be 0.517.
Okay.
Say the second
Mr.
one.
Mr. Deputy Mayor?
The second one.
Oh, 0.517.
Mr. Mayor, I move to set the mill rates at 9.984 area-wide and 0.517 non-area-wide.
Okay. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, that passes. And the main motion then is on Ordinance 15015 as amended many, many times. Actually, what, 21 times? What was our final number? 21. Okay.
Mr. Mayor.
Further discussion, Assemblymember Sykes.
Yes. I would request before we vote on this final motion, we received a memo from Finance Director Clayton about some of our revenue shortcomings in the outer years. Now, we're only considering this budget, but what we do in this budget with the amounts that we have in reserves and the amounts that we don't have coming in for revenue streams have repercussions. And I would like to ask a few questions about that memo before we vote, because it might lead to another amendment.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So I would, in the memo, it talks about some of the revenue stream decreases that we had. Exemption for senior citizens, disabled veterans, property tax was worth 0.2 mils. The mill rate reduction that we had last year was 0.42 mils. I don't have the mill rate on it, but for fiscal year 2016, our projected revenue has decreased to approximately 3.9 million. And I don't know what that mill rate is. And then the other reductions that she put in her memo for FY16 that have an effect are the $110,000 loss in personal property tax revenues and $700,000 from business tax when we raised the limit from $250 to $1 million, which I estimated to be about worth $1 million. And so my question is there either a dollar total for the memo that covers FY16 or a mill rate total of what we had as a reduction from the FY15 budget. And if we are going to face even worse revenue projections next year, as is suggested, with the possibility of decreasing federal and state funds, would we be wise to try and raise extra revenue beyond what we've put in this budget?
Is that germane now?
I think so, because if we pass the budget without this discussion, then we've passed the budget. And if there's some reason to talk more about revenue, then we need to do that.
Would that be possible right now?
Mr. Mayor, in my opinion, next year's budget is not germane to this year's budget, but...
Well, I was referring to the memo that covers FY 2016 only.
Right, but it doesn't... I do not see that that memorandum is germane to the main motion that's on the floor.
Okay.
Is there further discussions on the budget that we have before us? Is there any objection? Hearing none, we've got a budget. And that brings us to comments. Mr. Spropoulos, any comments?
A couple. Within the past 3 days, we've been served with two new lawsuits. So it's going to be a busy summer. The first one is regarding Kalispell Drive up by Montana Creek. Apparently after it flooded out some years ago, it was... material was pushed over. The Montana Creek washed out the entire road, and then material was pushed over to preserve the road. The next year when it flooded, it didn't wash out the road, but somebody who lives downstream is claiming they got washed out as a result. So they've sued us for inverse condemnation, trespass, improper construction, all those good things. And then the other one is Clear Creek Cat Rescue over allegedly not... honoring their contract they had with a third party about returning of a cat and euthanizing the animal. We've been sued in Superior Court for that, for an injunction to stop us from doing it, monetary damages, and punitive damages, which will be interesting to deal with. So we've got just both of those in the past few days. We're going to start working through them. And then just for everybody's information, I've had a couple of questions already on mayoral's veto. The mayor has until, by state law, has until the next regular meeting, which we gavel in next Wednesday at 6 o'clock. And the mayor can strike or reduce appropriation items in the budget. So any money being spent or any amounts being spent, the mayor can strike to zero or reduce them by certain amounts. Or he could veto, it's any other ordinance, he could veto the entire thing. And then should the assembly choose to try to override, it takes two-thirds vote. And either 21 calendar days or the next meeting, whichever is later. Typically, they're taken up the same night. At least they have in the past. I think last year there weren't any vetoes. So just, I've had a couple questions, so I figured I'd mention it publicly so everybody's on the same page of music here. And that's how it goes. Oh, and the vetoes do have to be issued in writing. But as we've, those of you who have been here before for mayoral vetoes, the reasons in the writing, they don't need to be robust. It can be, I think we're spending too much money. They can be very minimal. The legal standards for rationale for issuing a veto are extremely low. It just needs to be accompanied by a reason, and that reason doesn't need to be verbose, like I'm being right now. So I'm done.
You would think it would have some persuasive value, at least... I like mine to be that way. So, Mr. Manager.
I'm going to offset the attorney and offer thank you and no comment.
Madam Acting Clerk.
Just thank you, Mr. Mayor. No comment.
Okay. Assemblymember Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to thank the staff for for answering a lot of questions that I had and for helping prepare these budget sheets. Overall, considering the what I see as a really the Assembly's lack of participating in the needs and wants of the budget prior to the budget coming in, I think I'd like to recommend that we consider some additional discussions among Assembly members so that we have a better understanding of each division, so that we can actually hear publicly in a work session from the managers of each in the future budgets in January and February. I thank the finance director for providing me with the number that I've been asking for quite some time. The difference between the valuation prior to the mail out of notices and the final valuation after all the appeals are done averages about 1%. And with that kind of variable, I think we as an assembly should try to get a better grasp on the budget and the needs in a more thorough way and discuss our direction to the manager in a more thorough way rather than individually seeking to talk about our own particular interests one-on-one. And I would like to see that process go forward. And I would like to thank this group for voting for the checkbook online. It's, in the grand scheme of things, a very small thing, but I think we owe it to the public to be more transparent, and I really appreciate that. And I thank you for the discussion, and I hope people enjoy the remaining part of the evening as much as there is.
Assemblymember Mayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My first budget, and so you know, obviously I learned a lot. All in all, I think we met or addressed the public need. I'm grateful for the Assembly's support of the fire service areas and the emergency services. Those folks are real heroes, and they definitely deserve our support. So likewise, I'm very grateful for that. I'm also grateful for the support of education. I'm sure Mr. Beck would echo those comments. You know, I'm mindful that we really need to concentrate on generating revenue. And so we still have a lot of work to do in that regard. I think we need to examine, you know, current code to see if we can stop doing some things that waste dollars, and possibly we could save by eliminating. So just for the, you know, for the future, you know, I do again want to look at generating revenue from our land sales, and looking at some other possible stop doings that we can where we can generate revenue, get some money coming through the door, support the services that we're giving the public. So still lots more work to do there, and I'm committed to it. And I just want to thank the audience, everybody who participated in all, in the throughout the entire process, as well as the Assembly for doing a good job. Thank you.
Assemblymember Halter.
Mr. Mayor, well, I want to thank the borough staff too personally. It's always a long effort to do the budget, and I really appreciate the information received. And I want to specifically thank Tammy Clayton, our great financial officer, for answering all our questions, answering them so quick, producing a mill rate just off so quick when we asked for it. And so I really appreciate all your efforts and work that goes behind this budget. And you know, we started out with 9.662 from last year. The manager's proposal was 9.815, so 0.153 over last year. And we wound up 0.322 over last year's at 9.984. And I think we solved the ambulances dilemma. There's some new positions for EMS that I think are very important. And so I think this budget was a difficult one, but we accomplished a lot of things. You know, I guess, you know, the corrected record, I guess, on the Willow Fire Service area, and Mr. Mayor, if we have a little bit of difference opinion on this, I hope it's with all due respect to each other.
I disagree with some of the things that are said by the certain board members up in the fire service area. They've been all over the charts on the mill rate number. They voted, my understanding, they voted specifically for 2.250, even though they might want to go to the voters. They have stated on the record that they personally support 0.250. They would advocate that voters, and then they're down here tonight talking about 1.84 and 1.40, and there's no record to really substantiate that. The Nancy Lake Hall was purchased with a revolving loan fund. It was passed unanimously by this assembly. And then after that happened, certain calls were made to Juneau, and we had actually passed the construction money, $600,000 grant, thanks to Senator Dunleavy's office in December, and it was construction money. It wasn't to buy land. And so when we approved the revolving loan fund to buy the land, that was kind of a done deal. But then there was calls made, and certain things were said to economic development that could you use the grant and things like that. And I may have called them, but I wrote a letter specifically to them that said that and stated everything in writing, and I stand by that, that it wasn't necessary. The information they were given them by Mr. Keller's office was not actually correct, because he said they needed the grant money to buy this building. Well, that was water under the bridge, because we'd already taken care of that. And so, you know, I do support 0.275. I know it's a step of increase up in Willow. It's a considerable step increase over their current rate, but that has been so low for so long. It's actually it's almost appalling when you compare it to other mill rates of like and similar rural areas. It's even lower than those, even though we're going to 0.275. And it's a needed mill rate. We're going to pay off that revolving loan fund. I've asked Ms. Clayton, I think $100,000 will come out of the reserve fund this year to pay it off. And then the next year, another $100,000, so it's paid off. And that building was a steal of a deal. A two-apartment type condo office building with baths and plumbing and water on both sides, perfect location. And of course, some of the things they said tonight I was really impressed with. You know, we do have a new fire engine coming and a new truck and things like
Mr.
that.
Mr. Halter, you need to extend the meeting, please.
I'll extend the meeting. I'll get done talking, then we got to go.
Well, give us a time certain.
Time certain, 10:15.
Okay. If everybody talks as long as you do.
Well, I'll get on with it then. So I want to thank the staff again. And I will take Mr. Arvin up on his proposal to have the Scholastic Youth Program withdraw their application for the tomorrow, if you would please.
That'll happen tomorrow, I'm sure.
I would thank you for that.
So, Assemblymember Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to thank all of the staff and the public that have sat through this. I think we had, compared to last year, really good public participation. It's great to see all sitting here amongst us and discussing matters, but you might only have 3 minutes, but you're still a part of the process, and I appreciate that. I'd like to thank the fellow assembly members for supporting education tonight. I think we really stepped up for some of our young people through the potential to find a shooting range for the Scholastic Club. But education, I think, in this budget, we did a great job of supporting my highest priority. And I think emergency services, too. I wish we could do more, but given the testimony and the ability with what we have and the resources, I think we've done a good job. I'm proud of our work together of building some services through the budget. And just a very specific thank you to Ms. Clayton and the financial team. I hope that you can get some good rest now, kind of that we're over the hump here with some of this hard work. So thank you for being available for all the hard questions that come your way, and you did a great job. Thank you.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Yeah, so again, thanks everybody. I'd like to thank the staff and management, Mr. Moosey, for participating in the budget and putting best foot forward. I was pleased this year and last year we submitted our budget, thanks to Mrs. Clayton, to GFOA, an organization that looks at standardization and the like, and we got an award last year. I think adding an auditor, internal auditor, a year before last was a good kind of growing move for us to look at our internal processes and the like, which is helpful.
after passing the budget tonight, I still have some expectations for management, though, and I guess my expectation is that we have some definition of deliverables, plans, targets, and goals. We have a kind of revamping EMS, new director. We've made some changes, but at some point, I think it would be nice to know that we have a vehicle replacement plan. We've reviewed stuff. We've looked at our audit on procedures and stuff before. But there's things like, to me, business license system. We've had a budgeted for several years. We're kind of rolling out time cards and work orders, which I'll just say I would like to bring something forward, Mr. Moosey, that anything more than 4 hours of staff time directed by people at this table is reported or acknowledged. I think a lot of our staff time is, we're short staffed in certain areas, but tying up staff time, people just going in and directing their own pet projects, I think there needs to be some transparency to that and the like. But I'm excited and encouraged, but at the same time, I'm fearful of the next year's budget. And while we did, I feel, do a good job of funding education in the school district, I also think it's a great time to look at joint use, consolidation, and other things that we have not talked about for the last 4 years, because there has been money on the table, and there are programs that we do duplicate, and I don't think are real efficient. But I think this next year is the time to start having that discussion. But thank you.
Assemblymember Doty.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I appreciated the opportunity to learn from you all the budget process. This is my first round. I was particularly impressed with the directors of the various departments and the manager's ability to bring forward a tight budget, which we could then work with a little bit and had some wiggle room with some long-term goals in terms of overall cost. The comments I had from my constituents were consistent about keeping that mill rate under control, and I think we did a pretty good job of that and still supported schools, which was important, and community development projects. I'm glad that we put a little time and effort into recycling and to maintenance of the port, because we have in fact invested a lot in the port. It makes no sense to not do maintenance. I think there's some opportunity in the future to really look at maintenance of our facilities. I think we've left that off the table, that this budget, we are still going to have to address that in upcoming budgets in the future. I applaud our efforts to support the ambulance and the fire service, and to avoid obligating future budgets with buying things on time when we can buy an ambulance outright. And I do think that sequencing those purchases rather than doing lump sum purchases makes sense. So I applaud my fellow assembly members in that process, and particularly our finance director and Ms. Clayton and her efforts. It's delightful to be able to get numbers immediately to see where you're at as you progress through the budget. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So thanks to staff and Tammy and John, you guys did a remarkable job during this budget cycle, as I have experienced 5 years, this being number six. But tonight, I want to give a hand to Brenda, because this was, she did a good job. And I, she was feverishly taking notes, and I could, from this far away, sense and feel some energy, and you did good. Thanks for that. So I'm going to keep my
book.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm going to keep my budget book, and I'm going to stack it on my other five. Yeah. Because it helps with the historical record, right? And it's been beneficial to me, and I guess in the future, as the next year rolls out, since I'll have a six-year historical record, I can come in and stand down there and look up at all of you and have some history to stand on. I really appreciate the effort and the discussion about this building renovation and the port. I've been, in one way or the other, involved in that port for almost 20 years, clear back to when I was a port commissioner. And to see it come to where it is today is pretty astounding. And I applaud a lot of different people that have been involved in the development there, and most notably Mark Van Dongen
and paying attention to the things that need to be done there and not overlooking small things that will turn out to be big things later. So I appreciate that vote tonight and you bringing that forward, Mr. Mayfield. Similarly, I really appreciate Vern Halter for thinking outside the box on how to get to the bright spot at the end of the tunnel for the youth shooting club. And we've come and gone, and I've found myself very frustrated at times just because I think it's such an easy thing to do, right? Give a piece of dirt to some kids, but it wasn't easy. And this new approach got us to the light at the end of the tunnel. And I think what that means for our broader community, along with all the other youth activities that are available, it does nothing but good to a certain sector of our youth. So thanks for your vote on that tonight. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I too would like to thank everybody that worked to get us to this point. And there will be a veto document this year. I think looking ahead, there's a couple of trends that are bothersome to me, so hopefully it will be an educational exercise. And, you know, it's ironic that we got into long discussion on filming tonight, because as I left the farm, when I left the farm, Animal Planet was up there taking pictures of cows. So, if there's Mr. Oh, did you change the mill rate?
No.
Oh,
no.
Good.
I'd just like to also acknowledge Cheyenne and thank her for her assistance throughout this.
Yeah. So, you guys are on opposite ends of the room, so things balance better? Or
we double-check each other.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't, you couldn't give me $1 million to sit where you're sitting and have to come up with numbers that still work the next day.
We don't have that $1 million in the budget to give you.
No. Okay, well, if there's no objection, we will adjourn.